I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And we're a gay.
And his NB.
Episode number 96. Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of A Gay and His NB, the podcast where we talk all things we're watching on television this week. And we got a very Vanderpumpy Valley episode ahead. It's a jam-packed saga, you could say. But before we get into any of that, we got a few housekeeping notes that we always have to get out of the way first.
Wherever it is that you're listening to us, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or one of the other many, many podcast platforms out there, if you can leave us a rating and a review, that helps us get into the algorithm so that we're suggested to more lovely listeners like yourself. It also helps us hear back from you so we know what you like, what you don't like, and what you want to hear from us in the future.
You can also follow us across social media platforms, all at A Gay and His NB. That's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, where we're posting new content every day, including clips from the podcast and some of our instant thoughts about the things that we're watching. We're always live tweeting stuff. We're always posting about news as it's coming out. So if you want an extra dose of A Gay and His NB, you can be sure to get that across social media at A Gay and His NB.
You can also support us by going over to againisnb.threadless.com and pick up one of our lovely merch designs. And we are introducing a new Pride design today. So we now have three Pride designs. You know, June's going to be here pretty quick. You know, you got to get that Pride merch out there. You know, start figuring out what your outfits are going to be and all. I don't know. Whatever. But, you know,
it's merch, a great outfit.
Merch. It's lovely. You can get it on shirts, sweaters, stickers, magnets, mugs, whatever your heart desires, they've got on there. Again, that is againisnb.threadless.com.
And last but not least, if you have any questions for us that you would like us to answer on a future episode of the podcast, you can be sure to submit that to us across the social media platforms that I mentioned or at againisnb@gmail.com. Just be sure to leave your name, leave your question, and who knows, we may answer it on a future episode of the podcast. Babe, I already kind of teased a little bit, but what do we have in store on this great 96th episode?
Well, we're going to talk about Vanderpump Rules.
As we do. As we must.
You know, this week was a little weird. I thought it was a good episode, but I don't know. I'm sick of Joe.
I'm sick of a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people on this. Can they do a two-person show? can we just cut it? Well, three. I like Allie. So Allie, Katie, and Ariana.
That's all.
Can that be a show? Maybe James. Maybe as a friend of.
As a friend. Reverse the Allie and James situation.
Yeah.
That's what needs to be done. Yeah, we're going to get into it. It's fucking frustrating and annoying. And there's also so much stuff happening outside, too, that it's like,
oh my God.
Just, I'm fuming.
We're also going to be talking about the second episode of The Valley. Jax is an idiot. That pretty much covers it.
I think that's going to cover this season of The Valley.
I think every season of The Valley, depending on how long it goes. But before we get to the second episode, we need to talk about the first episode of The Valley.
Yes, we skipped it last week because we were going to be doubling up next week. I think I said it last week. I like this show. I think it's actually pretty
oddly
good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think like it's weird. Like, you know, it's the group is kind of built in a way that's very nice to see. And like, so like in this first episode, we get some appearances from like Lala and Sheena and Brock. And we're going to get probably a little bit of like crossover stuff happening, yeah, which I think is probably smart. I actually think we'll get later to Vanderpump where it's like, I think they really need to just dump Vanderpump at a certain point
I'm done.
And transition anyone else on that cast over to The Valley and like be fine with it.
I would be fine with the women.
Yeah.
I do not need either Tom.
Oh, I agree completely.
I don't need either Tom on my television screen. I'm fine with James and Allie. I would be very upset if we no longer had Katie on our television screens.
Yeah.
Ariana, we're going to get her because she's going to be on, you know, Love Island US.
Yes.
Yay, the new host that was announced yesterday.
I believe so, yeah. TMZ broke that. I also...
Poor Sheena.
It depends on what they're... I will say this. It depends on what they're going to do with the Valley in terms of... It definitely seems like in the early goings, they've made it so much a narrative about, like, nuclear families. And,
yeah.
Like, and that dynamic. Even though you have some side characters as well, like... The gay Zach.
Yeah,
and
I love the gay.
He's very much just like, you are the gay person on this cast.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have like Jasmine too as well. But it's like, I don't know how long that's necessarily going to last. When, spoiler alert, two of the couples are already separated.
Wild.
In real time.
Well, and what's weird is this seems to be like a Frankenstein version of the show that they tried to start a couple years ago.
Right.
And... But that's what Vanderpump was initially. It took like 3 or 4 years to get it off the ground, mm-hmm. and to figure out what that cast was going to be and finally convince Bravo to send a camera crew.
Yeah.
But like, so it seems like a similar story is happening over here. And I think Bravo was like, really? We have to center a show around Jax Taylor.
Sure. And I think I was so worried it was just going to be about Jax, Brittany, and Kristen. And then it's like... All these side characters that I was like supposed to care about but weren't going to. I was very worried going into the season because I felt they all looked the same. It was just like, oh no, I'm not going to remember any of their names. I've done a better job at it now, 2 episodes in, but it's just like, oh, I got to remember 8 new people. Okay. But it's
Bravo posted a lovely little relationship map that helped.
Oh yeah.
Cause it has their faces. And it has their names and like how each person is connected to the others.
Right.
So that helped a lot for me, at least.
Well, and I think also like knowing that they were also pretty well within the group as well.
Right.
Just outside of the filming of Vanderpump, like helps a little bit as well. Like, so you can sort of latch onto people a little bit better in that way. So let's dive into this first episode. We kind of go house to house in terms of start things off. We start, of course, with Jax and Brittany. Brittany is still recovering from lipo that she's done on her chin. I'm just going to say this. I said this to you, and I think Brittany's a very nice girl. I think she's done a lot to her face, and I'm not the biggest fan of it.
I don't like, there's like this thing that's going on with like... her chin and lower lip where it doesn't move.
Yeah.
And her smile is now upside down. Like, well, if you notice that, whatever.
Yeah, she has like resting sad face now.
Yeah. Like she opens her mouth and the corners of her lips are somehow attached to the floor.
It's like in episode 2, it's really prominent and it's literally like you see it. It's like one of the, you know those filters that you put on like Snapchat where it makes the sad face. It looks just like that to me. And like her cheekbones are, she did something to her cheekbones.
Yeah.
To like make them really high, and it like scrunches her face in a way that I just don't like that much. Obviously, Jax is
like, look, if she's happy, I'm happy. But like, I wouldn't have done it.
Sure.
That's me.
I love when Brittany goes, Jax and I are very lucky because we have friends that are plastic. You knew I had to do the voice.
Oh my God.
Ron Hale. Jax and I are very lucky because we have friends that are plastic surgeons. They did all 3 or 4 of Jax's nose jobs. She was so proud to be like 3 or 4.
But the thing is that his nose jobs don't end up making him look like he's had 3 or 4 nose jobs.
No.
His nose jobs look good.
Yeah, the nose isn't the problem.
No. No, it's the brain that's behind it.
Sure. Man. We then cut over to Kristen with her boyfriend Luke at her apartment. She's moving into a new apartment in the same location, though. Just a bigger one.
I will say we don't get a lot of it this episode, but I really like Luke.
I've concluded I like Luke. And I think... Jasmine kind of says later, he's like vanilla, but he's like nice. And it's like, it's just, he's kind of normal. Like,
but also he stands on business.
Yeah. I like that. We'll get into it a lot in the second episode where it's just like, it feels like with Luke, you've transported a normal person into this fucking shit show circus.
Yeah.
And he's just like, why the fuck is everyone acting this way?
Like, right.
You know what I mean? And I think Kristen needs that. Like,
yes.
I definitely think she doesn't pick the best and like picks a little on the crazier side.
Yeah. Well, but you kind of almost have to be to keep up with Kristen.
Yeah. The way Kristen starts off with like the catch up of like what has happened to her since like leaving, which was this whole thing was so Kristen. She goes, I owned a really beautiful home in Valley Village for 2.5 years. At the time I was dating my ex-boyfriend, Alex. Alex urged me to sell my house and I moved in with him. Over the next 5 months, we broke up about 7 times until he kicked me out and I moved into an apartment. And then she details further. So 2 weeks after my shitty breakup, I attended a wedding. Luke was the groomsman. I thought he was sweet. He's kind. He's funny. Then we had sex behind a tent and the rest is history. It's like, if you need to like someone to like get caught up on like, who is Kristen Doty? That does it.
That was it. That, yeah.
Like, okay, great, Kristen. Not much has changed.
Not at all.
Oh, man. We then go over to Danny and Nia's house. They're the first new couple that we have. Danny is a lot. I will say this. I bet it seems like Danny is a very nice guy.
Yes.
His whole face.
It's very actor face.
He has such actor face. He said you would recognize me from like iCarly and Hannah Montana, which with the whole Quiet on Set documentary coming out, I bet he has stories.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I mean, wasn't his wife the one that spilled the next episode about the story she has?
Oh,
not
well,
from that,
yeah, not
but from
that.
Pageant world.
Yeah, they seem to all... Because his wife, Nia, is a former Miss USA. So she's in that pageant sort of like circuit and all
Hi,
that
Kenya.
Stuff. Hi, Kenya. Don't call her Miss America either.
Nope.
And he talks about like, you know, he does like voiceover work for like The Walking Dead and all this. And I remember Jax like talking about this guy, Danny, and being like, yeah, he has his own like recording studio where he records all his like voice work stuff. And like, and we just see him doing like the like gunshot, like sort of like, get down, like sort of like crazy, like.
So nothing we would recognize you from.
No, basically not. Here's the thing. They seem very nice. They kind of seem, other than Janet and Jason, they seem the most well-adjusted. But
sure.
I don't think I could deal with Danny. Danny's personality is just like the kind of person that like you're probably incredibly nice, but I think you're a lot in a way that like I can't handle.
They're very Barbie and Ken.
Very. It's just like,
it's like, how are you on all the time?
Yeah.
Do you plug in? Do you have a battery in your ass? What are we doing? Like, I don't understand how you are this electric all the time.
Right. We then go to Janet and Jason, and Janet's like showing Jason how like pregnancy is like by like taping like the watermelon to him with like saran wrap and all that stuff because she is pregnant. They're having their first baby. Like I said, I think they also seem very well adjusted. I feel like I'm really gonna like Janet.
Yeah,
she seems like she just like is gonna be the like comedic relief, sort of like, ain't these people fucking crazy? Like I get that vibe from her. We don't get a lot in the first two episodes from them too much. Jason's a lawyer. And so like they talk a little bit later about in the first episode about Jax's like love for Jason being a lawyer and having a lawyer friend and like how Jax keeps like making comments about like, oh God, you open your mail on time just like a lawyer. And Janet's like, oh, you mean like regular like adulting stuff that's like, you know, and that any normal human being would do. Like, yeah, it's they seem to, like I said, to be the ones that are going to cut through some of the bullshit. Okay, then we go to Jesse and Michelle's house.
Oh boy.
Within minute one of seeing them, I was like, yeah, that makes sense why they're separated now.
Uh-huh.
They do not like each other at all.
And I don't blame them because I'm not a huge fan either.
No.
At least not of him.
He does some stuff later that's a little red flag to me. But also it's like, I don't know what has been like long stand. They are also in this weird place where they have like a 3-year-old and like they seem to like talk about like how the not anticipating how that was going to change their relationship. So I don't know. Like clearly Michelle saw something in him to procreate with him.
I guess, but like I don't get it, because he's giving me serial killer vibes in this picture.
It's already starting because Michelle is doing laundry and Jesse's like, yeah, did that pen come out of her sheets? Like, how did she have a pen in her bed? And Michelle goes, do you want to do this? Like, all just like they go to their confessional and the producer asks, what are some of the words to describe your husband? And Michelle goes, I have to think about that. And Jesse goes, like, loving, like, sexy. And she's just dead silent.
Wow.
It's like, Jesus Christ. Michelle says, I don't think he's ever had a picture of me on his phone as a screensaver. It's like the dog and the baby. And then Jesse goes, we work together in real estate. I have to look at you all day long. So why would I have on my phone a picture of you on it? I have to look at you all day long.
Yeah, that was a weird way to phrase that. Like, I don't think it's weird to not necessarily have a picture of your partner as your, like, I don't do that.
No.
But, like, to say I have to look at you all day, like, why would you not say I get to look at you all day every day?
Yeah.
Why would you not just say, if I want to look at you, you're right here and I get to see the real thing? There are so many ways to say that that is not, I have to look at you.
Yeah. It's almost like I would believe that he would have a photo of Jax on his phone before he would have it of Michelle. You know what I mean? Like, Michelle laid it out in the confessional, but also, like, I don't think Jesse said one word of the, like, this is what I like about my wife. Like,
yeah.
We're not getting anything from them. We're getting great drama. It's like their attention is like my favorite part of these first two episodes.
Honestly.
Okay, so we then go to Kristen getting lunch with Jasmine and Zach. It's our first time seeing them. Jasmine used to work at Sir. That's how she's sort of integrated with this. And Zach used to be Brittany's friend from Kentucky. Well, they're still friends. But Kristen jokes about, like, I kind of made him my friend now or whatever, like, since he's moved to L.A., so great. We're going to get like a fight over a gay
fun, which apparently happens in episode 3.
Yeah. Kristen is talking about how she's trying to get pregnant now with Luke. She's talking about how she's approaching 40 and how, like, the clock is kind of ticking. We'll get into it later where it's like, I don't think Jax's tactic is correct by any means. But I do think I can see a semblance of Jax's point that I would maybe agree with in terms of Kristen having a baby or her intentions of having a baby, maybe more than her having a baby.
Sure. And I agree. I think there is a world in which you can have this conversation and this argument where you are coming from. I don't know that I trust that from Jax.
Yeah.
I think it's possible, but I'm squinting at it.
I think Jax doesn't like anyone to be happy. I think that Kristen kind of hits that in episode 2 where it's just,
yeah,
like,
that's probably fair.
Luke is an entrepreneur who currently lives in Colorado, but Kristen says, we've been doing this long distance thing, but he's decided he's going to spend the summer in the valley with me because we're going to try to have a baby. And I was like, but this is before we really got to know Luke. And I was like, oh no, though. Cause I was like, oh, conveniently he's like long distance in Colorado. And suddenly when you start filming a reality show, he wants to be with you in LA.
It felt a little thirsty, but I also, like, understand why you would go, well, I will move there temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we get pregnant, we can have another discussion. But, like, it's temporary for right now.
Right.
Because I'm not moving unless we're pregnant.
Yeah. Zach in his confessional goes, Kristen already knows I have a threshold called hetero frustrated that I hit. I was there from the beginning of Kristen and Luke and was like, do not for the love of God date him. You just broke up with someone. Clearly that didn't happen. But she got lucky because he's way better than any of her other exes. Like, I
would agree with that.
I think that's probably true. Like, but I also just, he's really already, like, coining the phrase hetero frustrated. Like, he makes the comment later about being a platinum star gay and all that stuff.
Well, but that's a thing. Like, that's been a phrase for a long time.
Sure. I think we'll judge him episode 3 when, like you said, there's going to seemingly be some drama involving mm-hmm. him, but it's definitely just a little like, I'm here, I'm the gay one. And
yeah, I almost saw the top hat and the cane. There was some showing and dancing going on.
Yeah. We then go to Brittany and Michelle visiting Nia at her place because Nia just had twins, like 6-week-old twins. So this is like very like quick into the process for her. And she already has a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
So, and Brittany, you can all honestly tell Brittany is just happy to be there, to be around other mothers. Like, she definitely has attending instinct to like the mothers of the group.
Yeah.
I don't think Brittany has like fully comprehended she's back on like reality television.
I almost feel like she never comprehended that she left.
Right.
Because it's kind of hard for me to separate the two episodes, but there in the argument later, she makes a point that is like, okay, but you realize that that's not normal.
Right.
That's not the way that normal humans behave. And I feel like you just have reality TV brain rot.
I think it's reality TV rot. I think it's also being with Jax for so long.
But Jax frames everything around let's be on reality television because it's the only way he's relevant.
Well, that's why a lot of people also thought that the whole separation thing a month ago or whatever was like promotion for the show, because like that would be some shit that Jax would do.
Absolutely it would.
But it doesn't seem like that now that more that Brittany's talking about.
Right.
And it's been so awkward watching them do like press events together for the show.
It has been real rough.
And Jax literally being like, I don't want to talk too much into detail about it. And Brittany's like, well, I will. So Jax needs to change, and like he's not, you know, showing up for me or Cruz, and yeah.
And he won't be showing up for me or Cruz until he changes.
Yeah, something really bad has had to happen because
something
for Brittany to be so vocal about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So Brittany talks about wanting to start trying again. Thank God she did not. And Michelle goes, yeah, so I wanted one. Jesse's always wanted two. And Nia goes, I mean, you're the one that probably has to do all the work. And Michelle goes, I do 98% of the work. So just like,
yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
And then Nia's like, yeah, Danny, you know, he always like wakes up to do like diaper changes. And Michelle goes, yeah, Jesse never once woke up. Like, I slept separately with Isabella for like a year.
Absolutely
like,
not.
She's just real. Any chance Michelle's like, yeah, so like Jesse's like an absentee parent. So, by the way, like, it's like, oh, well.
Oh, yeah, that man, the man I married, it trash.
Tell us how you really feel.
Absolute trash. And can we kill him?
And Brittany goes, no offense, but I kind of see that. Okay, the men then go to play virtual golf, and they bring Luke. Luke is, like, new to the men's group, so they're, like, trying to, like, integrate him and stuff like that. Jason says he's kind of, like, introverted a little bit, which you kind of see sort of.
Ish.
He has moments when he is trying to not be introverted. It does feel slightly awkward, I will say.
A little bit, but again, I think that maybe that speed is good for Kristen.
It's good for Kristen. It's just hard. It's hard when you're around Jax.
Yeah,
and probably the rest of these men for the most part.
Yeah.
Luke turns to Jax at one point and goes, "So, Jax, am I still blocked on your phone?"
Wow.
Jax like, I don't know. You tell me. Like, I'll try to unblock you. And apparently he's like, yeah, I was like just pissed at Kristen once. And like, I'm just, which apparently happens all the time.
Not surprised.
They ask Luke about how the living situation is going with. And Luke's like, yeah, like 99% of my life right now is still in Colorado. And Jax is like, is it going to stay like that? Luke goes, I mean, we're going to try to take another step. And Jax goes, oh, I know what step you're taking. Brittany and then tells like Michelle and Nia, we got back to them. And like Brittany's like telling about like how Jax has really kind of just been dogging Luke, like really was like, didn't want to talk, was very rude to them at Sheena's wedding. And like, it was like, so it definitely feels like Jax has been like, I just have trepidation. I can see a Kristen Doty disaster coming a mile away. Like, I know what to, you know, look out for with like Kristen's boyfriends, but it just seems so proactive.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that she's
also, I find it hard for you to, when we get to episode 2, be like, I'm very looking out for Kristen with Luke when Luke is such a nice guy. Meanwhile, you're friends with her other recent boyfriend who does not feel that way to me. Like
at all. He seems very scummy.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what Jax is trying to, like, put on or whatever. Luke talks about wanting to get on with the kids process since Kristen is 40 now and how they've been talking about that. Jax goes, do you think she wants it for the right reasons? Like, just want to make sure she's okay with, like, having a kid out of wedlock. The way he puts that is just, like...
It's nasty because it's frustrating. Here's the thing. I can understand going, I don't know if she's ready yet. I don't know if she's in the headspace. I don't know if she's in the time in her life where she's really ready for that yet. I can understand having that concern, but that's not how he frames it.
Right.
He frames it as, like, why is she having a kid with you? Who the fuck are you to get her pregnant?
Sure. I also just think in the process of, like, so to jump a little forward. So we also then see Jax and Brittany go to Janet and Jason's house, and they bring Cruz and all that. And they're talking, the topic again comes up about Kristen and Luke, and like Janet's asking about it. And Jax is like, you know, she's actively trying to get pregnant. I love Kristen to death. Like, it's like a brother-sister relationship. It's like up and down. Janet goes, I hate it when you say that. It's like a brother-sister relationship because you guys literally fucked. Like,
yeah, but I can understand. Like, the dynamic is not what it was.
The way Jax phrased it, okay, but like, I don't think of it like that because I don't remember that.
But that's kind of what I mean, though. Like, Jackson, they were never romantic. Like, they fucked because they fucked.
Yeah.
Because both of them were / are toxic people who
self-destructed.
Yeah, self-destruct. You know, they have self-destructive tendencies, and they just happen to be in the vicinity of each other, and like, it had nothing to do with actual attraction or romance or anything like that.
Right.
So to me, it's not weird to say that they have a brother-sister type relationship. I can understand why for some it would, but it's like, y'all, this is not, stop. It's not like they dated.
Jason says in his confessional, like, look, Kristen has the qualities to be like a great mother. She's always there for her friends. Like, Kristen was there when I got engaged to Janet. Like, I think she has the ability to be a really great mother. I like that Jason advocated for Kristen a lot, both here and later at the party. Like, he seems, that's why I like him. He seems very level-headed.
Yeah.
In terms of many of these things. Janet, the point I agree with Janet, Janet goes, like, for me, I'm like, is it just that she wants a child? Or when she met Luke, was she like, this is the person I want a child with? And I think, like, in a time in which, like, we're seeing Lala right now going through IUI because she just wants a child, right?
Right.
And so, like, that is something to think about. Like, make sure that this person is the person you want.
Right. Like, it's one thing to, if you're having a child because you want a child and you do the IUI sperm donor thing, then that's one thing. But there's a face on this sperm donor.
Yeah.
So, like, that's different. That's different. Like, you kind of need to make sure that that person, because once you have a child with somebody, they are in your life forever. Period. End of story. So, I get, this is where I'm like, there are merits to this argument, but like, you're making the argument in such the most misogynistic bullshit way that I'm like, I can't in good conscience say you're not wrong.
Yeah. Jax is like, she was trying to get pregnant the week before she broke up with Alex. Look, I'm rarely ever wrong on this. And Brittany goes, look, I'm so sick of this shtick that you're never wrong. Like, Jax constantly does this. Like, constantly. I'm always right, guys. Like,
I've never been wrong. My instincts are perfect. Like, I'm sick of it.
Because Brittany was also, because it's Janet's birthday, and so Brittany was like, well, maybe we can throw you like a surprise party, and they kept the theme secret, but it's about like the state fair or whatever, because Brittany, obviously being from Kentucky, Janet's from Ohio, they both bond over that in terms of that. Zach shows up in a wig, because of course.
Well.
Jesse makes a comment in his confessional, he's like, I mean, Jackson Brittany, they got like a damn storage closet just got for Halloween decorations. They always do this. I fucking hate themes. What is this man like? What is up this man's ass?
I don't know, but it doesn't vibrate because he's not happy.
Do you just like puppies? Not like joy? Like
I don't understand why this man is so hateful.
Yeah. Michelle then talks to Kristen at one point at the party about the plan with Luke and like the babies and stuff like that. And Michelle's like, look, I always tell people I've been with Jesse 8 years, and it's funny because we didn't even ask basic questions like, how do you want to raise kids? And I think you should have those talks. Every scene with Michelle is like, help me. Help me, please.
I'm going to see her literally in the background of a scene with a poster board that says, help me at some point.
Honestly. Yeah. And then, oh, my God. So then Jax and Jesse are by the pool talking. And Jax is like, yeah, everything okay on the home front? And Jesse's like, yeah, no. I don't think Michelle's like been super happy the past 24 hours.
The past 8 years, it seems.
It seems like they just had. He doesn't explicitly say. Well, Jax is like, there's no like separation though, right? And Jesse's like, no, but like conversations have been had.
Oh my God!
It's like already.
It's episode one. Establish yourself.
I get that they've been together for 8 years or whatever, but still, it's just like Jesus Christ. The way Jesse puts it was just so weird to me. Like, he says it's confessional. Like, we transferred from the honeymoon stage, like, once the baby came, because she kind of evolved as a mom, and I wasn't quite evolving as a dad. It's just, that's the weirdest thing to say to me.
So you agree that you abandoned your wife?
Well, and also just, like, maybe I'm overanalyzing. More than like his just like not caring about Michelle, it's just like him, his not caring about being a dad seems odd to me. I saw a tweet that was like, he seems like the person that like someone gets a divorce and he like gives up all parental rights to the child.
Yeah.
Cause it's just like, the way that he phrases it, just like, I don't know, like we were in like the honeymoon stage and like then we like had a baby and then she like became into a mom. And I, like, didn't. Okay, whose fault is that? Like, yeah. Like,
can't. It's yours.
Because, spoiler alert, you are still a dad.
Right. Like, I don't know what to tell you, buddy. Whatever.
Then this is where Jesse's, like, it started with this. And then Jesse's, like, character just gets more shown to the public in a way that it's just like, oh, my God. Just red flag after red flag. So Brittany got like, I don't know how this related to State Fair, by the way, but like she got a tattoo person to do like permanent tattoos in their living room or something, which is the craziest thing to have at a party, in my view.
I like the idea. I think it's fun.
I think it's a good idea if you know, like clearly with this group of people, it worked.
Right.
If you like for people, you have to have people who would be into that kind of thing.
Well, they're just getting flash. It's not like somebody's going in and like getting a big custom piece done.
But you are also saying it's kind of weird to do it with a pool party because you can't really be out in the sun.
Right. You're supposed, like, literally next episode, Jax checks the tattoo that he got to make sure it didn't bleed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he jumped in the pool immediately after. And I'm like, chlorine, dude. That had to suck.
Yeah. But so, okay. So then Kristen, I think, like, Brittany's getting hers. Kristen and Jesse are in line for the tattoos. And Kristen's like, look, I'm going right after Lala. Like, I have, like, two letters, Jesse. Like, come on. Jesse's like, no, I'm in line first. And they're, like, just playfully joking with each other. Kristen then, like, is like, eh, and, like, pokes at him. And then, like, tweaks his nipple a little bit of just, like, a little, like, titty twister. Like, eh, like, joking. And Jesse goes, oh, how dare you. And he tweaks her nipple back. And the look on Kristen's face is like, are you fucking serious right now?
Now, sure. Should she have tweaked his nipple? Probably not. But there is a huge fucking difference between tweaking a man's nipple in jest.
Yeah.
And tweaking a woman's nipple ever. You don't do that shit.
No. It was we double taked at each other when it happened. Be like, did we just see what we thought we saw?
Did that just, because it goes on without like,
Kristen doesn't say anything, right? Because she's
and I'm like, did that just happen? Did he seriously? like, maybe we saw it wrong because they didn't catch it directly on camera. It was kind of like he reached over and you see his hand go in front of her. And then she kind of looks down and looks back up at him with her jaw down. And then it's done.
Yeah.
I'm like, did he just grab her nipple?
I really think Kristen was just in shock at that point.
I think she was too, but I would have probably slapped the piss out of him.
She says her confessional, I just put up with Jesse because he's Michelle's husband.
I'm surprised she didn't backhand him like Stassi backhanded her.
Yeah. It's just, honestly. Jesse, oh my God. And so then that happens. Then like Jesse and Michelle are together and Lala comes up because Lala's also at this party. And Jesse goes, look, I'll let my wife choose and I'll let my mistress choose as well, talking about Lala. And then Lala goes, wow, I've been labeled that before, like joking it off. And then Jesse goes, sorry, I want to be more cultured. My side piece will choose. Lala? What?
Wild.
Like, he's already offended two women already. Well, three, including his wife. Like, just like one after the other.
I just cannot with this man.
And I don't know why this was the worst one to me. Like, this one resonated with me the most. Lala leaves. Michelle goes, hey, like, who has our daughter? You want to go check on her? And Jesse goes, no. And then walks off. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
so now four women, his daughter as well. Like, this is disgusting. Fuck this man.
I hated him so much. Okay, so Jax and Brock are in the kitchen, and they're talking about, like, Kristen being ready. Like, Jax is like, Kristen's not ready for a child. I love this. Lala and Sheena overhear Jax talking about this and are like, how the fuck is he like going off about whether Kristen should have a child? Kristen, get over here. Good on Lala and Sheena.
I do love that. That was great. Like, no, we're not doing this behind her back. No, we're just gonna go get her now.
Jax goes, I just want to make sure you're ready for like this children's situation. Kristen goes, Jax, were you ready? Because no, he was not.
No.
I guarantee you. Jax goes, it's not like you're getting a dog, which is so condescending. I'm sorry. He goes, you're getting a child. Are you mentally there to have a child right now? Which again, like mentally there? It's like, it's just with Kristen, it's kind of a weird thing to say because
yeah.
they keep implying the, again, like the crazy Kristen thing, which Kristen has a reputation, does it to herself to a certain extent, but you know.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that crazy people can't have kids.
Yeah. Kristen's like, I've been mentally there for a very long time. And then in her confessional, she goes, if I wanted a man to tell me when I can and cannot have a child, I would just hang out with Trump.
Wild.
Not the first time, or not the last time Trump will be brought up on this season of The Valley. And then Kristen goes, Jax, suck a dick. Which I was like, yes! Good callback.
Get him.
It's been way too long since I've heard Kristen tell someone to suck a dick. Jason's sticking up for Kristen in this moment. Jason goes, would you be happy if you had a baby right now? And Kristen goes, yes. And something that I learned about my last relationship is I didn't want to have a baby with that person. Jax then goes, in front of all these people, by the way, goes, whoa. You were at my house in here telling Alex to come inside you. Jax! What is wrong with you?
And that was worse than you've been inside me. Why didn't you invite me to your party?
He goes,
from Martha's Vineyard.
He goes, I was standing right there. And then a week later, you guys broke up. Kristen is so just like, are you fucking serious right now that you were just like.
Yeah, things changed. Fuck you.
Kristen goes, just because I don't tell you the personal ins and outs of our relationship doesn't mean we don't have those conversations. So it's like. Sure, like the idea that Jax needs to be like in tune with everything. I just can't get over the just like airing out her business like that in front of just like.
But also, like, if she's been with him since at least before Sheena's wedding,
yeah,
because he went with her to Sheena's wedding,
right?
So that's like
it's a little
at
bit
least
of time.
6-7 months, like. When you're 40?
When you're 40.
I mean, it's kind of like shit or get off the pot at that point, right?
Sure. Like, yeah.
Things progress a little bit faster.
Yeah. I'm not positive that Kristen is in tune, but also who fucking cares? Like, it's her life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, I can understand, like, being concerned, voicing concern. But then once you voice concern, you kind of go, but it's your life. It's your body. I'm going to support you either way. Yeah. That's what a friend does.
Kristen's like, it just hurts because he says, like, we're brother and sister. Jax goes, you want the tough love. If you break up, God forbid what happens. And Kristen goes, but, like, why am I in a relationship thinking, like, I'm going to break up? And Jax interrupts and goes, did you think you were going to break up with the last five guys you dated? So
wow.
At a certain point, Janet, the look on Janet's face is just like, come on, Jax. Like you're yelling at this party, this shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So it kind of, like, dissipates a little bit. And then the episode fucking ends. So they're all, like, hanging out outside of the pool party. Danny and Nia are taking, like, a photo together at some point. And Brock whispers to Jax, you should go and pants him. Like, as, like, a stupid fucking, like...
Because Jocks. Brock and Jax. There we go.
That was Jax in an Australian accent.
Because both of them are the same 8-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Like... there's a lot of himbo energy between the two of them.
Well, that's the thing. It's like it becomes a thing later about, like, Jax's maturity, which, yes, Jax is not mature, don't get me wrong, but for a multitude of reasons. But like Brock was also the one saying to do it, and like, right. Any of these men, I almost guarantee you.
Well, I think that the blame ended up landing on Jax because Brock was not going to be around to take the blame.
Sure, there's that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, so he goes over as they're taking the photo, and he pantses Danny. And Danny has, like, swim trunks on, right? So he has, like, no underwear.
And mind you, there's a fuck ton of kids at this party.
Yeah, the kids, now I would, because, okay, so Nia really is upset about this. I get it from, like, the kids being there. Like, it's...
Well, and... The kids are there. There's people with their phones taking pictures, and he's an actor.
Yeah.
So, like, something could leak that could be, like, a larger issue, like, from a PR standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, if he was just a nobody, who gives a shit?
Yeah. We'll get into episode two, like, why my theory as to why Nia reacts the way she does.
But she literally goes to the back room and is crying.
It's like, why would he do that? And Brittany's like, I'm so sorry. Like, well, Jax didn't mean anything by that.
Jax literally, like, at the very tail end of the episode, literally goes up to Danny and goes, yeah, I'm sorry your pee-pee was out.
But Danny doesn't care, like, at the end of the day. But, like, yeah, and he has to, like, Jax has to apologize to Nia. He's, like, crying. And
yeah.
It's like, it was a lot of emotion. Like I said, we'll dive into episode two where we kind of get into, like, what that's about. But yeah, good first episode. It felt like Vanderpump of old in many ways. And, like, it was a very good cast. I will say that.
Yeah, very much so. I'm really enjoying the full dynamic. I would completely chop Jesse from existence. But, you know, besides him, I'm happy.
We needed to hate someone other than Jax.
Like, that's fair.
That's the purpose.
Honestly, Jesse makes Jax look not that bad.
Kind
of,
yeah.
And I think that's maybe the point, because Jax is the anchor of the show.
That really is true. That's almost why.
You need someone worse than Jax so that you go, well, at least Jax is not that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're talking the newest episode of Vanderpump Rules. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm the Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Mayhem.
That's right.
Do you want something new to put on your reading list? Are you feeling your holiday spirit grow while also being astutely politically in tune?
Then you'll want to pick up The Santa Strike, a new book by Shanna Hamaker.
While home in Midland, Texas, on a weekend visit with the eccentric uncle who raised him, Marion Wachowski, otherwise known as Mary, discovers a long-forgotten letter Uncle Joe wrote to Santa Claus. Mary keeps it to share with his girlfriend Lindsay and his best friend Tommy. At first, they consider the letter to be nothing more than a silly lark. What kind of grown man would write a letter to Santa? But soon, Mary and Lindsay find themselves caught in a much larger mystery. concerning many, many more letters to Santa, all surrounding the crisis of gun violence in America.
You can order The Santa Strike now on Amazon, available both on Kindle and in paperback.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His Envy. Let's head over to West Hollywood, where secrets both old and new get exposed, and the most boring woman in the world runs away crying, while everyone else is getting ziggy with it on Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump Rules for this week. You are definitely very anti-Joe. I'm more indifferent on Joe. I am more anti-Lala this episode. Lala has jumped the shark for me.
Sure.
Fully. This, like, and not just this, but, like, her conduct on social media as of late. Her going after Katie.
It's been real thirsty.
Yeah, and it's it makes me feel like she got owned at the reunion and she's, like, covering.
Oh, yeah.
Like, her posting about stuff about, like, you know, Katie being miserable and, like, she said, like, something about, like, talking about, like, the Sheena dynamic and being like, if you're in, you know, if you're in real life, you would be friends with Sheena. Sheena actually smiled. It was just, like, little, like, digs that are, like, I hate her, like, reinforcing the misogynistic talking points of the men on this show.
Yeah.
It is what, here's the thing. I'm going to rant a little bit. It is whatever that you like, well, they forced us to film with Tom and like whatever, and like we have a job to do, etc. That is fine. I still don't think that justifies the ways in which Lala is operating on the season.
Correct.
I think there is a better way in which Lala can still quote unquote do her job and move. And I think the way she's moving is really kind of gross to me. And I just don't think like, I'll say this, the therapy stuff, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, like, she needs to sort of apply that to her own life in a way that is, like, not... It is one thing to also be the person that, like, puts that on other people, but when you're not even embracing it in your own life...
Yeah. It's... Mm.
I really think, like, this... Something's either gone in her head where she's like, well, maybe, like, the producers will like me if I act this way, and, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's... I can't get behind it, and it's really disappointing.
Yeah, I at this point, like, I have been trying so hard to, like, empathize with Lala and see where she's coming from and, like, give her the benefit of the doubt. But at this point, she's squandered away every bit of that that we could possibly give her.
She's just genuinely not making sense.
Yeah.
And it's one thing if I can, like, just disagree, but it's like, you just see your attitude seems so pointed against these people for seemingly no reason. And even like you cite, like you had an issue with Katie before filming the reunion last season. And when Katie's just like, I don't really know what she's sort of like talking about. There was a thing like 7 months before, but like, I don't know what she's talking about recently. And you're just like, oh, well, someone has amnesia. It's like, well, tell us what it was. Why won't you just tell us what it was?
And also, where's the evidence of this on the season?
Right.
You seemed to be fine when you started filming. So, like, what's happening?
Yeah, and just the way she's, like, acting as though Ariana is acting a certain way that she just isn't. It's
like the entire cast is trying to gaslight us.
Yeah.
And it's weird because we're viewing this at the same time as we're viewing Potomac, where mm-hmm. the same shit is happening.
Yeah.
And it's just... It gets to be very exhausting.
And I really don't think it's working.
At all.
Because I think it just does the opposite effect in terms of it, and people get so people see it, and it's like,
yeah,
what are you trying to, like, force on them?
Like, we're not stupid. We have eyes and ears. Like, stop.
Yeah. We start at James and Allie's, and James is picking out Allie's clothes, which apparently he does all the time. Allie talks about, like, I'm trying to get him to eventually, like, curl my hair or whatever. I saw the comment, I forgot where, about like how this might be a, like, James probably had to do this a lot because remember his mom, he kind of had to like take care of his mom when his mom was like,
yeah,
in that like alcoholic stage and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, kinda, kind of like a trigger point, maybe. Allie, so James is doing an event at Hotel Ziggy, like the event he did last year, the poolside hotel. And Allie says that she invited Joe to come. Allie's like, look, I'm not trying to like be besties with her, but I want her to feel comfortable coming to things with Schwartz. Fine.
I feel like Allie's walking the line, right? She's going, well, they're on the show. They need to be able to come to things. She's not my friend, but she's on the show. Yeah. We're all on this show. We all signed contracts.
And Allie's, like you said, Allie's showing how to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and Joe's not the worst offender, maybe, as a, compared to Sandoval, but it's like, you can still have more. That's my point. You can still have morals, right? And you can still have sort of your own thought processes of people and still be around them. Like,
I have thoughts on Joe, and we will talk to it when we get to the actual party at Hotel Ziggy.
I still have issues with Joe, but yeah. We then go to Tom and Ariana's house. Billie Lee is, of course, there and comes into Tom's room. She's like, every time I come and go from your house, I get so nervous, like because of Ariana. It's like, Billie Lee, I don't love using Billie Lee is the definition of a pick me.
It's such a problem. And
the way she was trying not that long ago from the point of this filming to like play the fence, right? To
try, right.
Like she was by all accounts trying to portray that like I'm feel bad for Tom and Ariana and I'm both their friends and like it's hard for me to find a mill. No, she's fully with Tom.
Because there's no way that you're friends with Ariana and you're trying to get him to hook up in the house.
Yeah, it's just wild. And even they do a flashback to the pool party from last episode, and Billy's ranting to the group of people with Tom. They're going like, if he's like so fucking evil, like why do you continue to live like across the hall? Like shitting on Ariana. Go fuck yourself. Like it really like is nasty. And this whole, by the way, that like she thinks he's so evil, but like she's living in the house with him. Clearly it's like, I feel like Billy fed that to Tom. And Tom manifested that more. Because remember on the Nick Vile podcast, he was saying stuff like, maybe it's because she likes the protection of having me. Like, stupid. Like doo-doo brain craziness. Like, like, wild shit.
Poo-poo head.
Right. But I think it manifested from, like, Billie Lee, like, putting that in his head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it would be like him to steal an idea from a woman and claim it as his own.
Sure. And like, so like, as you mentioned, like Billy's like, you know, are you going to James's event? I'm bringing my girl T, cause she really wants to hook up with her friend. If it's not going to be her, apparently.
Yeah.
Billy's like, you know, not that you need to jump into like another relationship. Like it's like very casual. And Sandoval goes, I mean, I did just wash some of my sheets. So.
Ew. Ugh. I fucking hate this man.
His jokes were never this gross before.
No, they probably were. I feel like I need to go back and watch the first nine seasons.
Yeah, but I just can't
with remember. With fresh eyes.
I just can't remember them being that bad. I just like, especially even later, like at the party, it's weird. Billy's like, I mean, like only if you didn't live with your ex-girlfriend. Sandoval then talks about how, like, you know, yeah, the ball's in Ariana's court, and then that he had his lawyers draft a letter of intent, quote unquote, to buy Ariana out of the house at top market value. So, okay. So they on the after show, Ariana gets asked about this, and she's just like, oh, you mean that bullshit fucking email that he sent me? And she's like, one, it was like a weird fucking thing that was like mixed with also things of like, hope you're doing well. It was like casual shit mixed in. And then she's like, he's literally also pulling numbers out of his ass. There's been no appraisal done on the house. There was no mention in any of it about like the dividing of like the furniture and like whether I'll get compensated for it, etc. He just made a number and wrote it. And do you honestly think I should just agree to that and just move on?
Yeah, no.
It's like you.
But also, a letter of intent is literally just a letter.
Right.
There's no legal binding anything to that.
Yeah, when does he have to? How is he going to be able to execute on that? He fluctuates up and down from I have no money and have to pay all the bills because Ariana's not paying the mortgage and I'm struggling to I can pay her what, like $3 million or something crazy? It doesn't make any fucking sense. And the idea that Ariana would just sign that away with no guarantees, no actual fair deviation of anything makes why? Because so she can feel better than not be in that house, Lala? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't.
Ugh. Speaking of Ariana, Ariana's in her room. She's FaceTiming Anne, and Anne's like, I'm getting ready to go to the Taylor Swift concert. Like, I'm so excited. I love Anne, by the way.
Anne's great.
Ariana's like, hey, so, like, I feel like I'm on the verge of, like, full burnout. So I need an assistant. So I was going to ask if you know somebody. And immediately as Ariana says, I need an assistant, the way that Anne's face lights the fuck up. Like, it's the most joyous news she has ever heard in her fucking life.
And can you rescue me from the kennel I'm living in, basically? She goes,
Ariana, can I be in the running, please? And Ariana cracks up about it. She's like, Anne is just so sweet and deserves so much more than putting up with my ex-boyfriend. Somebody save Anne. Hashtag save Anne.
Fast forward to now where Anne is her assistant.
Like, doesn't that speak to... It's not just Ariana, right? Like, saying that Sandoval's a terrible...
Right.
When you have an assistant begging to get out of this job...
Not only is the assistant begging to get out of this job, begging to work for Ariana, who, if you'll remember, all y'all motherfuckers out there on Twitter wanted to say, she's so mean to Anne. She's so awful to her. Why was she treating her like that? She wasn't.
Yeah.
Anne knew what the fuck was up.
Right. And cause
the anger was never at Anne.
Because it's the situations that Sandoval puts Anne in.
Right. Sandoval is the one putting her in these situations specifically because it makes Ariana look bad on TV. How do you guys not figure this shit out yet? This man is a malignant narcissist. This is how they work.
When you realize like that is the operation point of everything he does. We'll get to it later at the party, by the way, when he goes up to her. Like that everything he does is for that purpose. I don't know why. Like, it's so blatant.
It's all optics. Everything he does is to make Ariana look bad.
Yeah.
He manipulates a situation to put her in a position where she has to stand up for herself, and it makes her the bad guy.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah. Ariana tells her, like, I don't want him to get all, like, pissed, though, and, like, you know, stuff about, like, oh, you're poaching my assistant, like, all that. That's going to cause more problems. And Anne goes, but I want to work for you so bad.
It's like, I don't care. We can burn it all to the ground.
Yeah. Okay. We then see Lala and Schwartz going to this smoothie place to get, like, drinks or whatever. Oh, my God. Schwartz talks about how he's like, I'm in the midst of like a sober bender right now. He mentions
the fuck is a sober bender.
And then he goes on later about like, I like the occasional bender, like sometimes with like drugs and alcohol and sometimes with like hardcore sobriety, like vitamin B, meditation, reading books. It's like, you realize you're talking to someone who's like actively being sober for like, because they believe they're an alcoholic, right?
I know that vitamin B and meditation and what was the other one? Reading books has nothing to do with sobriety.
Yeah, exactly.
Sobriety is literally not indulging in mind altering substances. It's just that. It's not drinking, not taking drugs. What about not drinking and not taking drugs is vitamin B or reading a book?
The idea that that's like a like, well, that's such an experience, right? For in their minds, Schwartz and Sandoval and maybe some of the other people on this show are very similar in that regard. Like,
yeah,
like it's the same thing of just like
vibes. It's all vibes.
It read the same thing of the thing last season of like, I just need to take mushrooms and go hang gliding. And like, it's like, what? Like,
why?
Can you go to therapy for once?
Why are you chasing the octane? Maybe figure out why you can't sit still and be in yourself.
Yeah. Schwartz then starts going off. He goes, you know, I think I have like post-scandal like brain fog. Like what Tom did compared to like what we've all done. I think everyone has cheated in some way, right? And Lala goes, yeah, of course. Oh, fuck off, Lala. Like,
with this fucking tired ass narrative.
And also, this is so annoying because she was defending against this at the reunion, right? She was so active of being like, this whole like everyone cheats excuses bullshit. And now she's just like, yeah, you have a point.
Literally just a couple months ago.
Oh. And then Schwartz then drops the bomb. I don't know about you. This felt kind of calculated on Schwartz's part. Just the way he brought it up out of nowhere. He goes, you know, everybody's cheated. I was a makeout slut. Made out with Sheena like 12 years ago in Vegas. And Lala goes, what? What are you talking about?
Then he acts like it just slipped out.
He goes, no one even knows that. Like, it was a long time ago. It was like the most like innocuous thing. But like, I'm just saying that we've all, and Lala goes, you made out with Sheena?
No, rewind.
When? And Schwartz goes, me and Katie were dating, but it was like a rocky moment. What the fuck? Even him saying like it was a rocky moment, he tries to justify it later too in his own like Schwartz way where it's like it's Katie's fault. But here it's just like, we had a rocky moment, so I made out with someone in her friend group. Why is that like normal? Why is that a thing that it's just like we're condoning and just like, yeah, it happened, you know?
So this is apparently during the season two trip to Vegas.
We'll detail it later. It was definitely, from what it's being described, before the fight where like when Sheena and Katie were fighting at that bar or whatever, because they didn't want Sheena at their table or whatever. And like Schwartz was like actively defending Sheena over Katie.
Yeah.
And then it resulted in Schwartz pouring a beer on Katie's head. That this whole kiss thing apparently was before that, from what I can understand.
Which is just, see, to me, this is so different.
Yeah.
Than all the random women, because I can understand why Schwartz, and I'm not defending, but like Schwartz has always said that the reason he's a makeout slut and it is because these women like will stroke his ego and make him feel nice in the moment.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it just goes there, but it's different when you know the person. Because Sheena wasn't just stroking his ego.
No.
By all accounts, they were just around and he pulled her into a corner.
Yeah, which I will get to it. I don't know if I fully believe Sheena on that. I still don't know if I can fully trust Sheena's telling of the story.
Sure, but I definitely don't trust Schwartz. But I can like understand their patterns, right?
Right.
So like I can see where Schwartz might think that's romantic.
Sure.
To me, you know what I mean? Because that's kind of how his brain works. And getting back to my point, it's the fact that he would even try for romantic
with Sheena when they
means that there's something deeper there than stroking an ego.
To me, I think it was very actively a fuck you to Katie. I don't think he's willing to admit, like, I think he kind of like halfway admits it to Brock later, but it's like, no, you made an active choice to do it with Sheena because you were mad at Katie. And isn't that fucked up? Like, that's the thing. Isn't that fucking disgusting of you to do?
Yes, but I think that there was more. I think that there was feelings there.
Oh, really?
Because the reason I think that is because then why would he be so defensive of her?
Probably.
Why would he actively go on a campaign to defend her?
Yeah.
There was something there.
I guarantee you, if anything, was maybe like you said, maybe like the stroking of the ego in terms of like, well, Sheena's willing to like say the things about Katie that Schwartz thinks about Katie. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Right. And so it's like, oh, yeah, like she does support me and like that kind of thing.
But it's my point is it's different than all the random people.
Right. No, I totally agree with that.
And I understand why Sheena wouldn't tell Katie at the time that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But the second they started getting close, she needed to say something.
Katie says it later. There were kind of multiple times she should have said something.
Yeah.
Swords is like, it just popped into my head. Like, sometime late last year, like the holidays, we were at a party, and she's like, you remember when we made out, right? And Lala goes, so Sheena's dabbled in the group a bit. And Swords goes, maybe microdosed. Lala goes, I'm going to be straight up with you, Schwartz. I'm fucking over people lying to my face. Like, because Lala's like, why the fuck is she? Like, I'm Sheena's vault, and even she didn't tell me this. So, like, yeah. What the fuck? And Schwartz is like, yeah, I hate people lying too. Shut up. Like, the way he, like, was so, like, yeah, that's why I think, like, there was something, like, intentional of him planting this.
Well, and it's so weird for
maybe,
him.
Maybe, like, to break up the girls.
Maybe. But it's also, like, weird to me that... that he would ever be upset at someone else for lying.
Yeah, exactly.
When
he's the biggest fucking liar.
He's like, come on.
Stupid. Lala goes, does Katie know? And Schwartz goes, well, I don't know if I told Katie. And Lala's like, are you fucking serious?
Fuck off. You don't know.
You know that you didn't tell Katie.
Bastard.
Speaking of Katie, Katie visits Lala at her apartment. And so Lala, of course, is going to like tell her about this. She goes, oh my God, I have something to tell you. You may care, you may not, but I was like, what the fuck? And then she tells her what Schwartz said. Katie in her confessional goes, what the actual fuck? Like, when was this? And like, where was this? And like, was this the time Schwartz said he went to Vegas and made out with one of Sheena's friends and it was actually Sheena? And they do the flashback. Here's my problem with Sheena's argument later about, like, you know, I didn't want to tell Katie to, like, hurt her. You know what I mean? I just didn't think it was necessary to hurt her further. If you watch back the clip of Katie confronting Schwartz about making out with Sheena's friend, it's because Sheena told Katie. She says, Sheena says that you made out with blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So what the fuck are you talking about, Sheena, that you weren't wanting to, like, pile down on Katie because you were afraid of Tequila Katie? You did it when you said it was one of your friends.
Well, and Sheena later says that same night she had been making out with Ariana.
Yeah, that she uses that as her defense, which has nothing to do with anything.
But it's like, that makes me think that it's the same trip where... Sandoval was starting to kind of hook up with Ariana when he was still with Kristen.
God, that whole season was like, like, I'm sorry, like everyone like intertwined.
Oh yeah.
You know, it just gross.
Isn't that the same season that Kristen and Jax fuck?
Probably. Yeah.
Like it's so incestuous. This whole fucking group.
So nasty. Look, Katie goes, there are just so many lies in this group, it's like hard to keep track at this point.
Yeah.
Lala says like that she hasn't told Sheena yet, and she says her confessional, I don't want to give Sheena time to figure out a way to like paint this pretty picture in terms of it. And like, fair, at least at this point, like, yeah, you're right. Like, give Kate tell Katie first and then allow Sheena to hang herself in a way. Okay, so then we go to James's event at Hotel Siggy. People start arriving.
My question is, why didn't Schwartz warn Sheena?
That's a good question.
Because that's real dumb.
Well, I guess that Schwartz didn't think it wasn't going to get brought up or something. Like, if...
Schwartz has been on this show 11 goddamn years. He knows it's coming
up. He seems confused when Katie brings it up to him later. So it's like, I don't get anything that Schwartz...
That man is so fucking stupid. I'm so sick of it.
Yeah. So James's event, like, Schwartz and Joe are there. Oh my God, Sandoval's showing up. I don't even know if you noticed it. That fucking backless suit jacket that he was wearing, that's like, it's like a suit jacket in the front, but it's like all like cut out in the back. But he's wearing a shirt underneath, so it doesn't make any
sense. I didn't even notice that.
It's so ugly. I mean,
that's so dumb.
And it's so fucking try hard. Ariana comes up. She looks amazing. She's in this like skin tight, sort of like, you know,
striped dress. Gorgeous.
Sandoval turns to Brock and goes, Ariana looks great.
Don't look at her.
Like, get the fuck.
Get your eyes off of her. That you do not deserve the right to look at that woman.
Yeah. Sandoval's like, I want to say something to Ariana, but like, I'm like afraid to, like about the house. And Brock goes, I feel like you guys should figure out how to start a conversation. We would all like to see you figure out how to talk. Go fuck off. Brock can fuck off this episode too, by the way. He sucks. I'm so sick of Brock.
Brock
is
here.
I don't care how pretty you are.
Brock, you are here to be eye candy.
That's
that is it. shut up and wear the little speedos that we like. But besides that, shut up.
Yeah. Schwartz and Joe go up to James's DJ booth and he's like, hey, like Joseph's here. Like Joseph's in the house. And Joe's like, Joseph, Joseph.
I hate her.
I can't with her. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. It's like, I don't. Okay. So this whole like stuff that transpires later with Joe at this party, I saw so many people, even people who I like, who I like am 99% in agreement with on Vanderpump, even being like, God, I feel bad for Joe, no. Actually. Why? I'm sorry. This, she put on a fucking mic pack and got in front of a fucking camera. Like, you don't have to be on reality television.
What's frustrating is that I guarantee you that Joe is not even here because Schwartz wants her here. Joe is here to do Sandoval's bidding, whether she knows it or not. And here's why I think this. They know, or Sandoval knows, that everyone hates Joe.
Yeah.
This is the same thing I was just talking about with Anne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The point is to make everyone else look like a bad guy. So when they bully Joe, with giant quotation marks, not bullying.
Yeah, it doesn't matter why.
When they reject Joe, and then they also reject Sandoval.
It's the
Sandoval
same thing.
Can point at that and say, look, this is a pattern. This is who they are.
And also, because what is the crux of his argument against Ariana? She treated me terribly. She belittled me in the relationship, right. et cetera. And so you're right. It is so part of a bigger story that they're trying to push.
Like it almost, the thing is that dealing with narcissists, it makes you feel like you're going crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's literally conspiracy theory level bullshit, but that is how they function.
Yeah.
They literally create conspiracies and then you feel like the crazy person,
mm-hmm,
because you're the one standing at the murder board with the red yarn.
Yeah.
But you're right.
It's wild. Sheena, so Schwartz and Joe are being loud and Sheena turns to her friend and goes, why are they acting like they're not dating? They're definitely dating. Like, and then Sheena in her conversation goes, right now, I have no reason to like Joe. She literally drove with Raquel to go meet with Tom in Big Bear and then left Raquel with Sandoval in Big Bear. Bitch, you knew. Okay, here's the thing. Sheena might be right in terms of that. But also, Sheena, what do you like? Think about what you're saying. You can't be friends with Joe because of that. But you want to be friends with Sandoval.
Like, it boggles my mind how she can't forgive Joe for watching this happen, but she could forgive Sandoval for literally doing it.
Yeah. Like, whatever I think about Joe, I think Joe moves very shifty and like, you know, but like, she's not the worst offender in this. You know what
she's
I mean?
She's literally fourth on the list.
Yeah. So Joe then comes up to like the group that like Sheena's in, and Sheena's like, can I ask you why you're covering your braids with that hat? Like, you're a hairstylist. Like, show off your work.
Also, she's a hairstylist.
She's like, put them in a ponytail. Like, don't cover it up with a hat. And Joe's like, I don't have a ponytail. And like, here's the thing. It's Sheena's being bitchy. Don't get me wrong. Sheena is being a bitch.
Sure, but it's Sheena.
But she's disguising it enough in a way, right? It's not like really mean to me, at least in the early goings. Sheena's joke's like, I'm going to bully you. Take the fucking hat off. And Joe's like, it's so funny. Like, and like, because her friend has the hat. And she's like, give me the hat back. Give me the hat back.
Well, and it's a Tom hat.
Yeah. And Sheena goes, we don't need to wear a Tom hat. We're good. And Joe goes, it's the only one I can find. And Sheena goes, how many of them do you have? Which I guess is a little, here's the thing, it's a little mean, but like, whatever. And Joe's my thing is like, Joe's laughing along. Like, she's like, and you could say it's from like a like introverted, like, I'm just trying to get along with people way, but whatever. Joe in her confession goes, I've gotten a lot of hate from the girls. It's 100% bullying.
No.
Fuck off with this.
Like, bullying is not earned. You have earned the disdain of this group.
Yeah. Katie and Lala then arrive and they're around the bar area. Sandoval is talking to Joe and Billy Lee who are on this like couch area. And Sandoval is like, I like your dress, T. And Joe goes, I like your face, kiddo. And Sandoval goes, Thanks. I'll tell my guy you said that. Again, what are these jokes? They're so bad.
Ew.
They're
Ew.
So bad.
I like your face. Ew. I hate it. It makes my skin crawl. I hate this man.
As this is happening, Billy Lee goes, yeah, because I guess they're like, oh, God, Joe's like the Katie and Ariana and Lala are like, Joe's here. Oh, and then Billy Lee goes, the girls behind you, like every time they're over there, they're just like mean mugging. Like Billy Lee, like, shut up, Billy. Like to me, it's like they're so like, yes, they're like there's moments where they're talking about Joe. Katie says that she's a rat girl, which is like, oh, my God. But doesn't say it to, he's like, she doesn't say it to her. She's
right.
Like whispering it in the corner or whatever. And then at a certain point, those girls go off to like another table that's like on the complete other side of the pool. Right.
Right.
And Joe's like being like, and she's like putting her fingers in her ears, like, et cetera. Cause like, she's like, oh God, I'm, you know, oh, they're talking about me. Yeah. And like, I'm sorry.
I hate her.
Apparently I'm making fun of people with ADD, by the way. Cause Joe goes, the past year, the things that these girls have said about me, they don't go away. These girls would insinuate that I was like a crackhead. One, Katie made one comment. And
that's not even what she said.
And
she said you have crackhead energy.
Yeah.
Completely different.
And that's hurtful and harmful to anyone that has ADD.
I have ADHD, which it's no longer ADD, by the way. It's ADD with a inattentive type. So update your language. Number two, I have ADHD. It's not offensive. You're just infuriating.
Yeah. Sheena tells the girls, like, I was telling her, like, why are you wearing that hat? Like, show off your work. Like, be like, wasn't I nice, guys? And then
to be fair, they weren't good braids.
No, but she was humoring her,
I guess.
Allie then goes, and this was, I was like, oh, Allie's kind of also bone care. I don't know. Like she's kind of using the talk with Joe for evil in a way, which I kind of like. And she goes, like, she didn't like my straight, because she talks about the chart reading she did with Joe. She's like, she didn't like my straight up questions of like, are you fucking Schwartz? So I said, like, do you find him physically attractive? Yes. Do you have emotional feelings for him? Yes. Like my dad. And they're like, what?
Ew.
And Ariana goes, does she fuck her dad?
Good calling that out, Ariana.
Yeah. Allie's like, honestly, I do think she's just trying to like come in peace. And then Katie's like, she's a psychopath, you guys. Like, come on right now. And then Ariana says her confessional. Before anybody starts boo-hooing over how Joe is treated by any one of us, know that Joe is a full-blown mean girl bully who did not give a flying fuck about spending Thanksgiving with me in my home while knowing that our mutual friend was fucking my boyfriend in my house. And it's not bullying for me to point that out.
Exactly.
And that's my point. One, you, like, again, like I said, if you put on a mic pack and get on a reality show, it's fair fucking game. It's the same thing that Raquel did last season, I feel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You could say Raquel wasn't right for reality TV and she didn't have the mindset. Fine, but you're on it. So
right.
Therefore, it's going, like, you have to fucking roll with it. And their response, their treatment of you is based off of the way you operate. Don't move like a fucking snake and expect me to treat you like a kitten.
Because it's not even just the Ariana Scandoval stuff. It's also the way that you swooped in
on Katie.
It's like you were in the middle of all of this shit.
Right.
And you expect anyone here to have any want to be your friend?
And Kristen on the after show was like, I didn't realize it. I think I heard this story, but I didn't realize it. The night that all the shit was happening with the phone and all the argument, Joe sent a group text to Tom, Ariana, and Raquel being like, I just love all you guys. And I just feel really put in the middle. I'm just hoping for peace with all you guys because this hurts me. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Making it about yourself. Great. On the night that this gets revealed. But also admitting that you knew about it the whole time.
Yeah. And then Kristen also reveals when talking about this on the after show, she's like, the only thing I feel bad about in terms of Joe is how she clearly loves Schwartz and And Schwartz has basically led her on in terms of the fact that he wants a relationship when he has fucked so many other people. By the way, she drops the knowledge that, oh, by the way, Schwartz also fucked the owner of the hair salon that Joe works at.
Yeah.
Like, that I will feel bad for Joe. I agree with Kristen on that. I feel bad for Joe being strung along by Schwartz. That's about it.
Yeah, but I think she's happy to be strung along.
That's why I'm not sure. Were you trying to get in terms to get on the show?
Yeah.
It just feels that way. And so, but like, again, this conversation is happening all across the other thing. And she's like, I think Allie says, like, Joe looks uncomfortable. And Katie's like, fine, let her be uncomfortable.
Yeah, she should be uncomfortable.
Katie's been uncomfortable for like 10 years. So whatever. But then Joe goes off into the bathroom crying and Schwartz chases after him and goes, Joseph, what's wrong? Are you crying? She goes, I just don't like being attacked. I want to go home. And, like, leaves. It's so stupid to me. Like, maybe I'm cold-hearted, but it's like, again, it's just like everything exists in a world of context.
Right.
So, like, yeah, does it look like they're being mean girls? Whatever. But, like, Lala's on the after show. Like, I do think Katie needs to hold off with, like, the social media comments. You have a bigger again, what comments? Katie made one fucking comment. Why is it like, oh my God, I just don't understand this, like, oh, this is such crusade. No, I just am having feelings about a person based off of how they treated me.
Yeah.
Why am I not, I can go on for days. Lala and Katie are telling Ariana about what Schwartz said about the whole makeout thing. And Ariana's like, what the fuck? Like, Ariana was like, she's like, I made out with Sheena in Vegas that one time. Like, is that, but it's not like, that's the thing. It's not a confusion thing. You know?
Right. But Ariana brings that up. That was apparently the same night, according to Sheena.
Right. Okay. As this conversation is happening, Sandoval then fucking walks up and goes, hey guys, sorry to interrupt real quick. Hey, Ariana, I don't want to bother you, but I just want to make sure you got the email that I sent like a month ago. And Ariana goes, my lawyer has it. And just looks off, not looking at me, and goes, I know we got to want to, you know, get things done, like get things moving. If you just want to have him respond so we can like start working on stuff, you know? And Lala's like, what stuff? And Sam was like, the house. And like, here's the thing. There's no point for him to do this. On camera, mic'd up. It's only to like...
It's scene setting.
Right.
It's literally what I was talking about a second ago. It was to present it in a nice way, right? So that Ariana, then when she holds her boundary and is cold to him, looks like the bitch.
Right.
It's narrative storytelling. This is what narcissists do.
Lala takes the full bait. And Erica Freshel goes, it's taking Ariana a long time to rid herself of this house. It's fucking weird. Keep in mind at the time, this is like 3 months, by the way.
Right.
And this past week, we found out that Ariana has now bought her own home in like the Hollywood Hills for like $1.6 million. So, hey, Lala, give her like 7 more months. Is that too much to ask for you, Lala? Did Ariana take a little too long for your comfort level, for your time schedule of when she should have moved out? And then, of course, Lala in this talk in the confessional goes, it's fucking weird. Brand deals are endless. The way that Lala can't talk negatively about Ariana without mentioning the brand deals, it's not helping your case, Lala, that I love her and I support her and all of her stuff and she's working it out and, you know, I'm not jealous of that in any way.
Bullshit.
Every time you bring her up, you bring up the brand deals. Every fucking time.
Yeah.
Like fucking clockwork.
It's exhausting.
She goes, trust me, bitch, you're doing just fine. You can afford an apartment. At this point, I really hope that the reunion that Ariana just was like, hey, Lala, here's my bank statement if you want to go through it, since you're so interested. Do you want to go through the fine details? Sure, I'll tell you. So I got this amount of money for this. I'll show you. This is what I had to pay my agent based off of the Uber Eats thing. This is how I had to pay. You know, and, like, does she need it broken down for her like that at this point?
Clearly.
Like, I've never, like, the entitlement to think that you are,
yeah,
like, owed that. For what?
And also, like, where did... When did you get a finance degree?
Yeah. And also to tell her, you can find an apartment. So you're saying she should go get a fucking apartment while Sandoval gets to live in that fucking house that he'll probably trash and do parties with all he wants, because that's all he wants to do, right? That's all we've seen him really do at all. Like, so he gets that big house and Ariana gets an apartment.
And then when he can't keep up with the mortgage payments and it gets foreclosed on, it'll fuck Ariana's credit.
Yeah, that's the right idea. Lala sounded so stupid this episode. I'm so sorry. It's so fucking frustrating. Okay, so Katie then decides to pull Sheena to the side of this party to tell her what Schwartz said about them making out in Vegas. Oh, my God. Sheena, I don't know how many. I think she just had, like, too many drinks in or something. She did this the whole time, did this, like, weird, like, Valley Girl slurring combination when she's talking to Katie. She goes, what happened was, me and Ariana were there with my mom and my sister for her cheer competition in high school. And Schwartz pulls me in the corner and kisses me. And Katie goes, when was this? And Sheena goes, I think Shay and I were, like, maybe just engaged. Like, wow. Like, but, like, she presents it as, like, almost like she, like, like Schwartz forced himself onto her, right?
That's what she seems to claim.
And then on the after show, she's like, it wasn't like that. It's like, well, then what was it?
Yeah,
Katie goes, why would he say you guys, like, made out? Because she's trying to differentiate, like, made out versus, like, he attempted to kiss her and it was, like, a, you know, whatever. She goes, nope. That was not a make out. Can I tell you who I was making out with on that trip? Ariana. Okay, cool. Do you think, like, what do you, why are you bringing it up? Do you think Schwartz confused it? Like, you, like, what are you talking about, Sheena?
Well, yeah, because Ariana and Schwartz look so much alike, and he just forgot it wasn't him.
Yeah. He thought it was Ariana.
Yeah.
Sheena goes, I wanted, in her confessional goes, I wanted to pretend like this never happened. I never told Shay. I never told my mom. I never told my best friend. And I would have never told Katie, especially back then, because the bitch is scary. This is like peak Tequila Katie hates Sheena days. Keep in mind, her saying, I never told any of my friends. Jamie from Jamie All Over was like, yeah, Sheena told me this. And like on her podcast. And then even Lala on her podcast, like, months ago or whatever it was like, yeah, Sheena was like, I absolutely told you this. And Lala was like, I don't remember you ever telling me this. So what is it, Sheena? Nothing. Here's the thing. Sheena's not consistent here. And so therefore I don't fully believe her in terms
of
that. Sheena goes, why would I bring that up to blow up my own relationship? And Katie goes, but now it's like a joke. Like, it's, like, funny. And Sheena goes, I'm not making fun of it. Katie goes, he said that you guys were joking about it over the holidays. And she's like, over the holidays?
Like, why are you answering all of her questions with questions?
Yeah. She's like, I may have made a comment like, oh, you're like a makeout whore like you tried with me once.
You know what?
So you were making jokes.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me very much of when Rena said, I don't remember saying that she, that Kim was close to death.
Yeah.
It was very much that, I don't remember saying that.
It's just wild.
It was like, you're full of shit. Everyone here knows you're full of shit. We can smell it. Stop.
Katie goes, but like, now I'm looking at the course of our relationship. Like, you've been a bridesmaid at my wedding. Like, and it's like never come up.
Yeah.
Which I get, like, here's the thing. In theory, Sheena is right about, like, why would I tell Katie this? I just think that you've also told Katie about other stuff. And, like,
also rewind to a few minutes ago when we were talking about how Sheena told her that Schwartz was making out with her friend.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Right. And it's just the thing of, like, just so people being like, Katie, get over it. Like, Brock tries that later. And it's like, do you realize that, like, whatever your intentions, like, she went through a whole marriage and a whole, like, 12 plus year relationship just being lied to, like, just outwardly being lied to, and like, and just like being the butt of the joke, and like, you know, it not, you don't understand why that affects her.
It's like, she was gaslit their entire relationship.
Yeah.
She didn't need other people than gaslighting her
exactly.
about her relationship.
Like it was part of the longstanding story of the relationship. It's not just it would be one thing if it was like one instance or whatever, however long ago. And it's like, yeah, like it is a fucking issue, you know?
And again, like Katie says, it's not that you made out with him. It's that you never told me.
Yeah.
Because fuck him. Like, I don't give a shit. But you lied to me. You lied to me for over a decade. I'd be fucking pissed too.
Right. We then go the next day. Lala, James, and Schwartz are getting together, and Sandoval decides to stop by. Again, just really casual that Sandoval. I'm annoyed with James too, but he's not as active with it. But it's like, Lala. And then as he comes in, Lala goes, wow, like I'm just so used to you coming in with like your hat down low, like slouching. Like you actually seem happy today. Like, why are you invested? You never liked this man to be like, wow, I'm so glad you're happy. Two, okay, so like, when Sandoval, like, has his head down, slouching, etc., it's like, oh, so nice to see you picked up. But, like, Katie, like, this is the same Lala who weeks ago was posting on her Instagram story about how Katie's miserable, Katie doesn't smile, Katie, you know, is just in her, like, sort of, like, war rampage, like, I hate everything, which is really not fucking true. And it's like, but why is Katie, again, why is Katie never allowed this? You know what I mean? Why is Katie never allowed grace or growth or anything?
Well, and it's interesting how Lala resorts to one of the most basic misogynistic things.
You don't smile enough.
It's really fucking rich.
Yeah. It's just disgusting. It's really
funny. Does she owe you a smile?
Yeah. You know who Katie smiles at? People who give her a reason to smile.
Yeah.
Sandoval goes, and I feel like Sandoval is getting ahead of things. I really, because why bring this up? He goes, I was running around, like we had some air conditioning issues, so I had to go into the main bedroom. You know, her door got left open and Maya went in there and like ate some stuff.
Also, her door got left open? No. You left her door open.
Yeah.
Why are you removing yourself from that narrative?
So Anne was on a podcast talking about her end of it because she was also like in the house. They found out Maya was like, you know, having this issue. And like, they're like, it's like maybe the door got shut by accident or something. Or like it got like maybe like closed on its own or something. But even still, here's the thing. We'll get to it when Ariana tells her side. There's no justification. Schwartz goes, did he ever tell you the story when she ate like 500 laxative pills? And it's like, how are you so negligent with a dog? Because clearly this was something Sandoval dealt with if Schwartz is hearing the story. How are you so negligent that you allowed a dog to eat 500 laxative pills?
Why do you have 500 laxative pills?
That's another good question.
Because
he's so bullshit.
Last time I heard, that tracks. But last time I bought laxatives, they like come in small bottles of like 30 pills.
Yeah.
Where did you get 500 all in one place? Why do you have that many?
It's unsolved mysteries, I guess. I don't know. Sandoval then says his confessional. Maya very often like gets into things. Like she's eating laxatives, pillows, hair coloring. I know Ariana is upset with me, but it's clearly an accident. So he's Maya gets into things. Yeah, Sandoval, because she's a fucking dog.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to blame the dog?
Well, and then Ariana tells the story from the other direction, which is he went in there, Maya went in with him, and he closed her in the room.
Right. Whether it's like Ariana's dog, like it's technically Ariana's dog, but I'm sorry, that's a communal family dog when they were in a relationship together.
Right.
That's like, I just don't get leaving a dog in a room like that and like, and seemingly like hearing, because from what Anne was describing, like there was like whimpering at a certain point and it's like, you don't do anything.
I don't understand that shit.
Lala asked about like last night. Lala then says, You know, I get why Ariana gave you the cold shoulder, but I got to say, Katie and I were like, damn, do we feel like a little bad for Tom? What are you saying, Lala? Because you're lying. You're lying. I can almost guarantee you Katie never said that.
No, Katie doesn't have an ounce of sympathy for that man.
Yeah. It's like, why are you feeling bad for him at all? Sandoval goes, look, I'm trying to just like move forward and make it super easy for her. And Lala goes, and I know how it feels to have someone hold you hostage to your past or their version of it. What the fuck does that mean, Lala? Their version of it? What the fuck are you talking about? That tells me you think that Ariana is lying.
Number one. Number two, again, your past is 6 years. His past
is 3 months.
Is 3 months.
Of actual, like...
10 months, really.
10 months. 3 months of actual scrutiny.
Right.
Like, I fucking can't. It's just, like, wild to me. So Sandoval then invites Lala to this guided breath meditation he's going to do at the house, which, again, it was just like, why?
Also, gift.
Yeah, gift, and also, like...
Because you know he wasn't going to make her pay for that man.
Yeah, also using meditation to manipulate a person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because he knows that
it works on Sheena.
Well, and she's also very much into the therapy, self-help stuff.
Lala's like, I don't want to hold you to your past in any way, shape, or form. I just don't know if I can participate right now, and I don't want to make a mockery of the work that you're doing. Don't worry, he'll do that for himself.
Oh, dear God.
So, speaking of that, they then go to Sandoval's house. Tom and Ariana's house. I always want to say that. They go to Tom and Ariana's house. Sandoval is with Dr. Vu doing this fucking meditation. As Lala's walking in, he's got a blindfold on, and it's like... I wanted to memory hole this out of my brain. It's so fucking cringy and disgusting.
Honestly, just him like, I feel like we need to start a class action lawsuit against Bravo for making us watch this.
Like, it really, like, he got, like, sexual gratification from it for some weird reason.
I think so, and it was nasty.
Yeah. And then he's just like, let out a big ass fucking scream at the end. Like, whatever. He's just like, It's like, oh, righty then. This is where I knew Lala was compromised, because she thought this, she was like, that was really good. That was interesting. Like, full, like, seriousness. There was no confessional of being like, this is weird. She was just like, I thought that was really good for you. Lala, you've lost me. You fully lost me. You've jumped the shark. I can't believe anything coming out of your mouth anymore.
Yeah, I
this
can't.
Is, this just, is. It's not Lala.
It's exhausting.
Can you give us Lala? Like is that what you renamed the brand?
Go back to that.
And literally as he gets up, he goes, oh, hey, Lala. Dude, that shit was cool. Like, that's not the thing you say after therapy. You know what I mean? It's not the thing you say after, like, this, like, healing moment for you. How cool was that?
It wasn't, actually. it was actually very cringy.
And then Sandoval goes, you want a latte? And Lala's like, I've heard so much about your lattes. Lala, you should be embarrassed. I am so sorry. You should be fucking embarrassed at yourself. They go outside to talk, and Lala's like, yeah, it seemed really great, and I know you wanted to do that together, but like, I think it was so amazing for you to do that solo. Lala says her confessional, we should reserve the right to evolve and fuck anyone else what anyone else says. And let's say he's bullshitting us all. He's the one that has to sleep with himself at night. It doesn't affect my life. Again, that's not how narcissists work. The whole point of a narcissist is they do affect other people's lives. They get in, they root around in their lives, and they destroy them.
Also, latte gift. Like, every fucking scene. Yeah. It's every scene.
She goes, what happened last year was the cherry on top. I mean, I texted you and I was proud of the bar and I never got responses. And when my life went south, not once did you ask me how I was doing. It really is about her. Like, Lala just is like, can't this be about me? I'm at that
point. It's honestly the same thing as Sheena.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
He goes, I apologize for that. You know, I didn't feel sometimes appropriate with that because there was like a disconnect with us. Stupid.
Why was there a disconnect?
Because you hated each other. You never liked each other.
Because she kept calling you on your shit.
Yeah, and it's like, but it's like, and vice versa. When it, like, you didn't like her either. But like, this is clearly like a forming of a friendship out of convenience because you need allies.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. Lala goes, it's not only you. I did it to Tom Schwartz. I do it with every straight man I come in contact with because what happened in my life really fucked me up. I don't want you paying for my experience with someone else. Okay, she keeps saying, like, I don't want to pay for you to pay for this experience. And then she later goes, you know, this is not my fight. I have to go to this is, you know, this is what I want and what I feel good about. It's not my fight. To say this is not my fight and I don't want you to pay for my experience. I would love it, Lala, love it, if you said, I don't want you to pay for my experience, etc. The problem is you're only applying this to Sandoval. You aren't, it'd be one thing if you were out of this fight, right?
Yeah.
But you're not out of the fight. You actually are not.
Yeah.
You're just in a different side of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You're just attacking Ariana every chance you fucking get.
Yeah.
That's not being out of the fight.
It's wild to me how, like, fuck Randall, right? He's an awful piece of shit human being, and in many ways worse than Sandoval could ever imagine being.
Yes.
Randall did not do this. It's real interesting how Lala switched gears from send it to Daryl to send it to Randall, because it was a fuck you, screw you, I'm not dealing with your piece of shit ass. And now it's everything is Randall's fault.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like, apply your therapy work to yourself before you start putting it on other people. I was telling you this. Lala was on Jeff Lewis's radio show, mm-hmm. and they were talking about like Ocean and like the parenting. And she's like, yeah. And like Jeff said something about Ocean was like very beautiful kid. And she's like, yeah, it's like, she looks like, I look at her. I'm like, wow, she's so beautiful. And look at the product she came from, basically calling Randall ugly. And it's like, so are you evolved? Are you moving on? Well, I don't like Randall. Don't get me wrong. I'm with you against Randall.
And I honestly don't think he's that attractive of a person.
But it doesn't, but like, your tone is not of somebody who's like moved on and is like bettering themselves.
Right, because you're making like base level insult jabs.
On a public platform that, I'm sorry, your daughter is going to see one day, and that is still her father.
Right. It is one thing to criticize the things he did and the things he was involved with. Like, the whole Hulu documentary was great. Like, I'm glad that we, like, got all of that exposed.
We're not defending Randall. Like,
right. But that was an attack on things that he deserved to be attacked for.
Yeah. And in any other scenario, like, that's the other thing. It's like, I could even see a scenario rooting you on, right, about
right.
Like, going after Randall, any chance that you get, because you would fucking deserve it. But my problem comes when you are not doing the growth, but then critiquing everyone else for not growing.
Right. For not growing in the way that you should be growing, because, newsflash, not everyone needs to grow in the same ways.
Right. It's just wild to me. Okay. So then we go to Katie and Ariana are doing a tasting for the updated menu at Something About Her. And also, they don't really talk. I mean, Ariana kind of talks about, like, you know, the last time anyone stepped into Something About Her, it was like a blank slate because they didn't have any of the furniture. They didn't have, it was just a blank
right.
sort of space. And when they filmed this scene, I remember it was like them showing everyone, hey, look at all the design work that we've done. Here is the finished fucking restaurant in terms of design.
But it would be weird to do that without food at a restaurant.
Right.
So they
Do the sandwiches and they've updated the menu. They changed a couple of the breads on certain things. Like, they added the caprese one, which was not tried last time. So we see them sitting down with everybody and they're eating the sandwiches, and Penny's like going through, so this is this sandwich. Lala in her confessional goes, why are we doing this again? We did this last summer. Oh, the sopressata? Had that last summer. Can we like fast forward? This shows to me you don't support these women It was so like, even James makes a joke later about, like, you know, oh, they're still not open. It's kind of like Schwartz and Sandy's. Fine. What, like, it's for reasons, but whatever. That's even, but that's at least like an actual, like, oh, like, can we acknowledge they're not open yet? And we were just talking all last year about how they weren't open.
That's fine.
There was no reason for Lala, we're doing this again.
What I don't like is that she said, can we fast forward? And then production literally said, we're just going to fast forward through this scene.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're stopping here because Schwartz said something funny. Well, and so, then we're just skipping the rest of this scene because apparently we don't value this scene.
Also, I'm sorry, Lala. How many fucking parties did we do at Schwartz and Sandy's before they opened last season?
If I remember correctly, it was like 4 or 5. And how many parties did we have at Tom Tom before it opened? I seem to remember like at least 3.
Yeah.
Like...
you just come off bitter. Sorry.
Yeah.
And then, so they fast forward or whatever. Schwartz goes, like, maybe you can do like a super savory, like a hangover cure one. No, Schwartz. Like,
no, because this is not that kind of shot.
That's not the theme of the restaurant. But then James jumps in and goes, he wants a manwich. We all know Tom looks a sloppy Joe, right?
That was so fucking good.
Everyone was like, holy shit, James.
That was so fucking good.
Katie goes, I didn't say it. He did.
I love it.
It was wild. Okay, so then they head all over to, on over to Sir straight from something about her. They're all sitting down. Lala goes to Ariana, goes, so I was at your house today. last night we went out for mocktails. Sandoval came and was like, you know, I'm doing this like breathwork thing and he invited me to do it with him. I didn't do it with him because I wasn't there yet. We went outside and had like the most productive conversation I've had with Tom in like all of my years of knowing him. Ariana's face as Lala's telling her this is just like, mm-hmm. Again, patience of a fucking saint. Because it's definitely the look of like, okay.
Well, that face.
Why are you telling me this?
That face was the face of someone who is mentally moving someone from bitches I fuck with column to bitches I don't fuck with column.
Yeah. Because there's a moment in the preview next week where they go to the beach or whatever where Ariana is just like, why the fuck do you keep fucking shoving him in my face?
Yeah.
You like, it's not that I'm bitter. It's that you keep wanting him. Like, why do you keep having these conversations with me? Talk to me about literally anything else. And in a normal relationship, that would be the thing. You wouldn't bring up the ex all the fucking time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, if she wants to talk about Tom to vent, then she will bring him up.
But she doesn't even do that.
But she doesn't do that.
It's like wild. Lala or Ariana goes, so the reason I wasn't at my house was because I was at the emergency vet because he was so insanely irresponsible with my dog. She had to have an endoscopy. He went into my room yesterday. I had takeout on my nightstand from the night before after Hotel Ziggy. He not only let Maya in there, but then he shut the door and left her in there for hours. So she ate wooden skewers from chicken satay, and Lala goes, yeah, that could, like, literally kill a dog. Like, that's so fucking reckless. Because even Lala's recognizing, like, yeah, that really is actually fucked up. Like, she goes, so I was at home of all of 30 seconds before I rushed her to the vet. They did x-rays, all that stuff. The bill is $6,000. Like, and here's the thing. It's not a thing of, like, did she... because it's not a thing of, like, Sandoval intentionally tried to kill Maya, right?
Maybe.
Jury's out. But my thing is just, like, he's just reckless. And he doesn't, like, he has the emotional maturity and responsibility of a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And we see it in the way he makes Anne clean up the house after parties. We see, like, it's just a manifestation of that. You would check on the fucking dog.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, that's ridiculous. That's honestly fucking ridiculous that you did that. Ariana says her confessional, added to the laundry list of why my ex can't have decent judgment when it comes to anything.
Oh, and you better believe if there's like an itemized list of whatever Ariana owes him.
Take the $6,000 out.
Be taking that $6,000 out.
Yeah. Lala goes, Ariana, I would highly recommend having that conversation. And Ariana goes, there's no way I can have that type of conversation that is not literally me fucking slitting his throat right now and being arrested. This is not the first time he has given zero shits about the well-being of what I consider to be my children. Keep in mind, by the way, Ariana has already lost the Pats.
Right.
At a time in which Sandoval was cheating on her.
Yeah.
And remember the time when she says that this is not the first time she hasn't, like, he hasn't had responsibility in terms. Remember when her dog was sick and we were like, Sandoval seems like weird. Like, remember he was like, she was like, hey, when I'm in Vegas, like, can you make sure to take her to the vet to get, like, her shots or whatever? And he's like, I mean, can you do it? And we were like, I guarantee you, like, she was sick and he did nothing.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked.
Not at all.
Okay, so Lisa and Ken arrive, and they taste some of the sandwiches with Ariana and Katie as well. And then Katie tells Lisa about Schwartz kissing Sheena in Vegas. And we go through a flashback from 2 hours before at something about her, where Katie confronts Schwartz about this. About, like, hey, so Lala told me you said this. Schwartz goes, I know. It was like 11 years ago or like whatever it was. And Katie's like, look, it's just like another thing I was kept in the dark from.
Yeah.
And but like the tone of Schwartz just being like, it was like 11 years ago. Like, you know, it wasn't a big deal. What? He doesn't apologize ever. He doesn't like concede her feelings ever. It's just like, yeah, it's like whatever, you know? So Schwartz then walks up to the table that Lisa, Ken, and Ariana and Katie are sitting at to bring them espresso martinis that he then spills on the table.
Idiot.
The way I would punch this man at this point. I'm sorry. Get him out of my face. Lisa goes, I can't believe you made out with Sheena. And Schwartz goes, it's a long story. And Katie goes, and I was just so trusting. You had it so good for so many years. Katie and Ariana were amazing. They were like Statler and Waldorf again. And it was like, they were just like tag teaming each other, like going after Schwartz. Katie's like, you blew it. You fumbled it hard. And Ariana goes, fumbled the bag, dude. You fumbled the bag. Katie goes, and now you just got sloppy Joe. Schwartz goes, look, let's not do that. Like, look, I gotta go. Like, abort. And Ariana goes, oh, abort. It got hard.
Bitch work.
I love them. How do you not love these women?
It's so good.
Schwartz says this in his confessional.
You know what I need? I need a Trixie and Katya-esque show where they watch Love Island together.
Yes.
Review the seasons.
I would
like the past right. seasons, because clearly she's going to be hosting it now.
Right. By the way, has anyone checked on Sheena?
Poor Sheena. Because you know that she's wanted to host Love Island for years.
Yeah, she always talks about it. Schwartz says in his confessional, didn't we just work through this? Like, why is Katie bringing this up? Didn't you just work through? You didn't even apologize 2 hours ago. What do you think working through this looks like? Explain it to me. It's like, this is where I can't get why. Fuck him. Fuck him. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Schwartz then goes up to Brock to tell him about how he was being grilled about like the Sheena thing or whatever. Which, by the way, you notice, like, why is Brock so cool about this, by the way? Like, that Sheena kissed him. Because Sheena told him.
Yeah.
Like, when they first got together, probably.
Either that or Sheena found out that it was being talked about, and then Sheena warned him.
Yeah. Brock then says in his confessional, Katie is overreacting from a kiss that happened 10 years ago. Katie needs to get off of her high horse because there are some real double standards happening. And then Brock decides to tell Schwartz, so like, we were partying the other night and Katie left with someone in your friend group. And Schwartz goes, who is it? And Brock goes, it's your boy, bro. And Schwartz goes, Max? So this is Max Boyens from season 8. He was one season wonder, but he still manages like Tom and all that. Ugh. Okay. That is not a double standard. Because they bring up the whole like, well, Katie didn't want you sleeping with anyone in the friend group. Schwartz voided that fucking contract when he made out with Raquel.
Yeah.
Null and void. Which, by the way, if I remember fucking correctly, Brock, weren't you the one across the fucking pool in Mexico being like, make out, when Schwartz and Raquel were at the table together? And when Lala confronted you on it and was like, why were people cheering at that? And you were like, because we just want Schwartz to be happy. Fuck you. You are a misogynistic asshole just like the rest.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, and I mean, it just, it's par for the course on this show, because this show has always been men fucking suck.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You're not going to have me not feel bad for Katie at this point, because you guys treat her like such like, and good on her. On her that she fucked him.
Also, they've been broken up for over a year at this point.
Yep.
Schwartz has no right to tell at this point to say anything about who she sleeps with.
Also,
he has all this energy for Katie. Where's the energy for Max?
Yeah. I guarantee you, even if we get a scene with them, he's going to be so light with him. Also, if I remember correctly, when Katie was like calling Schwartz out for making out with Raquel, what was Schwartz saying the whole time? I mean, like, if you like had dated someone in the friend group, I wouldn't have cared. He literally said that multiple times of just like to justify it.
Oh.
So you have, by that logic, you should shut the fuck up.
Uh-huh.
Brock goes, yeah, so we sent a message like, where are you at? And the location was her house. And he sent an emoji of a face, eyes, and a straight line. Like, And then he said it was bound to happen, which also is such a dickhead thing for Max to text.
Again, why did he get fired again?
Oh, from the show?
Uh-huh.
Because there were racist tweets.
Uh-huh.
Which, by the way, I don't think Katie actually likes him. Katie doesn't seem like the type to actually like him at all. It was probably a revenge fuck. And again, good for her.
I don't know that I would... after finding out about the kiss.
I'm all for her revenge fucking Max.
But she doesn't seem the type to revenge fuck. She seems the type to maybe revenge make out.
Yeah.
But I don't know that she would necessarily revenge fuck. But I don't know how strong she was.
Yeah. And then they talk about finding this out because Brock says that Sheena is a location collector. And Sheena in the confessional goes through her phone. She's like, 56. And the producer's like, you have 56 people's locations right now? One, why are you sharing location? Like, I'm also mad at the people who have her location. Have their location on her phone. Because it's like,
why? You have to actively allow that.
You have my location, and I think my mom does. That is it.
I share my location with you and with my best friend who lives in Florida.
Who's basically like...
like my sister.
Yeah.
So, like, that's it. And those are the only two. And I think I also have my dad's location, but he doesn't have mine. But, like, that's it. It would be really weird for me to have location... on for everybody I know.
Yeah. And it's like, Sheena's like, I mean, I can't like turn it off because then they get like a notification and then like, that's weird. It's like, okay, but it's weird you having it. It's the problem is, Sheena, you should have gotten rid of it a long time ago. And you've kept, that's what makes it weird.
Well, like, why were you requesting them in the first place?
I
that's weird to me. And why were people, because the thing is that
some people will send me like a ways, right? Of like,
but that's a temporary thing.
Yeah.
And when you share your location with someone, it gives you two options. It goes, or like three options, I think. One is like for the duration of your trip.
Yeah.
One is for the next 24 hours. And one is indefinitely. Why the fuck are people clicking indefinitely?
Yeah, I think it's partly on them as well as Sheena to me. Like, I can't.
Also, Sheena, you have all these people's locations.
Say this part. I know what you're going to say.
You didn't notice a pattern for where, I don't know, Raquel had her location at,
because it's one thing if
Tom,
like,
Sandoval's location was at,
because it's one thing when like Sandoval's location was always at Schwartz's house, right? So it's like,
but
it's
why was Raquel's location there, and why was it bouncing up and down? Why was Raquel's location in their hot tub when Ariana was out of town?
Yeah, it's like they're in Ariana's house's driveway for like a long time, like. Anyways, speaking of...
Sheena.
Yeah. Speaking of the worm with a mustache, he brings tea to Sir because they just went bowling. Oh, my. The scene of him bowling and then doing his little Michael Jackson.
It was very...
How does he get any woman moist? I'm sorry.
At all. Like, it reminded me so much of that cringy roller skating date that him and Ariana had at the end of last season.
Yeah.
It was like where he was like showing out on the skates. I hated it. I hated it so much. Yeah. Just go be a figure skater and get off our screen.
He wants to be in Broadway so bad. He was so mad when Ariana got
you
it.
You know he was. You know he was.
They tell Sandoval about the Max and Katie thing. And of course, Sandoval's like, there's like a total double standard when it comes to Katie. And it like always has been. Fuck off. Get off your fucking high horse.
Where? Point out the double standard.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
Sandoval like goes to the bathroom or something at one point, and T is still by the bar. Ariana and Sheena come up to like get water or something. And Ariana like passes by.
Also T. paying for bowling gift.
Yeah. Brock goes, yeah, so like T and Sandoval like went bowling tonight. Why Brock said this in front of Ariana is stupid. Like, go fuck off, Brock. Ariana then turns to T and goes, how old are you? And T goes, I'm 25. And Ariana goes, that makes sense.
I love her.
Queen Ariana. And then Ariana goes, I'm sure that you've been given a very different version of events from reality, but don't waste your time with a 40-year-old narcissist. That's all I have to say. People, I know they're going to spin this on her being like, well, you're meddling in his relationship. Who fucking cares? Because everything she says is fucking accurate.
I'm sorry. So when it's Ariana warning T that this guy is a piece of shit, that's Ariana meddling in the relationship. But when Raquel was warning Allie last season of James's ways,
that was fine.
That was fine.
Anyways, Sheena turns to Brock and goes, what did you say to Swartz? And Brock goes, I told him. And Sheena goes, why? Brock goes, because I didn't want you to be the one to say it. She's like, I wasn't going to. Brock's like, why are you so upset? And Sheena goes, that's not our place, Brock. And Brock goes, you were going to say something. And Sheena goes, no, I wasn't.
The audacity of Sheena to say it wasn't my place.
Right.
Ever.
When she's standing by the phone tracking Max's location. Because that's what she says, is that like it was going on for hours that she was looking. Like, and also, do you buy the whole like Sheena wasn't going to... like?
No. She was putting it in her back pocket to reveal when it was convenient for her. She's mad that her hand got played before she was ready.
Yeah. Brock then like goes off on Sheena and goes, Sheena, pull your head out and we'll go home. I'll go home right now. Your response right now annoys the shit out of me. And I'm like, they are getting a divorce. They are so getting a divorce.
Yeah.
It's not healthy at all.
At all.
Ariana tells T, when I was at my grandma's funeral, they were fucking in my house. And T goes, oh my God, you're so strong. Which... and Ariana goes, you're a prize. He is not a prize.
Yeah.
Which, but I also think T, I can almost guarantee you T reports to Billy Lee.
And oh, yeah. So, there's no way that T doesn't know all of this.
Yeah. Sheena sits back down at the table with everyone. And Lala's like, what's wrong, Sheena? And Sheena goes, ask Brock. And then Brock, in front of the table of everyone, goes, look, she's upset that I spoke to Swartz about last night's interaction with you and Max, Katie. And Katie's look on her face is like, are we really fucking doing this? To say that, not just to say it to Swartz, to say it in front of this whole fucking table. Again, Katie's sex life just being talked about casually, just like wild.
When it's details that she hasn't even revealed to anyone.
Yeah. Ariana goes, what's last night's interaction with you and Max? Boyens? Like, Ariana was kind of even surprised, too. Katie goes, what are you talking about? That Max came over to my place afterwards? Brock goes, yeah, you just, what did you do? Like, watch Netflix and chill? Fuck off. She doesn't have to tell you shit.
Not one goddamn thing. It's none of your business.
Katie goes, so what's the deal? And Brock goes, there's no deal. I'm just letting him know his best friend is at his ex-wife's house, like, yelling at her. Like, so what? Katie goes, why does he need to know about it? And Brock goes, because he got his ass rammed for keeping it in the friend group and you weren't with his best friend. Katie goes, when I asked him 3 months into our separation to not fuck around in this group and he did not give a single fuck about what I thought, so? Like I said before, the contract has been broken.
Yeah. He doesn't get to hold her to a contract he was never willing to uphold his side of.
Yeah. Lala turns to Sheena and goes, did they have sex? And Sheena goes, I'm staying out of it. It's not my business. So really, are you, Sheena? Please. Lala says in her confessional, I do not recognize this version of Katie. The Katie I know doesn't seek revenge fucks. She talks about them because they do the flashback of her saying, like, I'll run a train through your whole fucking restaurant. He's like, but she doesn't actually go and do it. So you're mad that Katie has followed through? You're mad that Katie owns to what she says and actually follows through with it? Like, Lala, why are you not rooting on Katie in this moment? This fucking sucks that you're not doing that.
Yeah.
And Lala goes, by the way, it's kind of fucked up on Max's part, which fire, that part's...
Yeah, that is valid. Yeah. Like, I would be upset if, you know, my best friend is fucking my ex that, you know, and things ended badly and it was kind of recent. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah. Lala then says in her confessional, and this closes out the episode, I just feel like everyone is full of shit. Ariana's lying about why she's still in the house.
No.
I was like, shut the fuck up about that. You know, and about her financial situation. You got Sheena following every single person's fucking location, and she and Schwartz are hiding that they made out, and now Katie is hooking up with Schwartz's best friend, and that's a big secret? The way everyone is moving is just ick. Well, the feeling's mutual, Lala. The feeling is fucking mutual.
Honestly.
Notice in that list of liars, you didn't include Tom fucking Sandoval.
Yeah.
I'm done with you. I'm just like, yeah, I hate this. I hate it so much. That was Vanderpump Rules. Fucking just like, ooh, infuriating. Ooh. Hopefully at this point, like I said in the preview next week, Ariana starts to rail into their asses for this shit and starts to be like, because I agree with you. I think she's wising up to like, I see what's happening now. And like,
yeah.
Oh boy. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're talking episode 2 of The Valley. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello, friends. I'm your pal in the mainstream media.
And I'm your Riz.
And, you know, Riz, it takes years of strenuous, dedicated training before you're worthy to step inside a professional wrestling ring. But it takes even more time to develop complex, highly astute opinions about professional wrestling. Am I right?
That is correct. Yes. And you know where we can find that?
Yes.
On the Wrestling Man.
That's right.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin.
And if you're anything like us, you live your life out loud.
And when it comes to issues of discrimination, inequity, and outright bigotry, we use every platform we have to speak out against systems of oppression that perpetrate violence against marginalized groups.
That's why we are so proud to wear designs from the Survivors Know merch store. Their team has created designs that feature unapologetic, empowering, and survivor-centered messaging that range from mild,
like accountability is love and toxicity is not on the menu,
to a little more spicy,
like one of my favorites, fuck your laws, fuck your system, transformative justice now, which has a cute little happy flower on it.
Each design is available on a variety of items, from t-shirts and hoodies to bags, blankets, magnets, and even stickers. And as more items become available, the options will continue to grow.
100% of the proceeds go back into supporting the amazing work done at Survivors Know to support survivors, workers, and survivor advocates by organizing, challenging the status quo, and creating alternatives to the systems that fail us.
Support Survivors Know by shopping today at survivorsknow.threadless.com.
That's survivorsknow.threadless.com.
Sidekick Media Services. We are your sidekick in business for social media, video production, and more. Find out more at sidekickmediaservices.com.
Welcome back to A Gay and His Envy. Let's head back to the Valley, where Jax does his favorite party trick of planning to do something incredibly stupid, getting told several times by several people that this is incredibly stupid, and then acting surprised when it turns out that it was actually incredibly stupid on the Valley.
The Valley, episode 2. Yeah, you're saying this is where we get into like the big drama of sort of everything.
Jax is being Jax.
Of course. We start the episode, speaking of Jax, Jax and Kristen go out to get dinner at this fucking, oh my God. He's like, yeah, this is like this iconic place I've always wanted to go to. I know it says like smokehouse and that like insinuates meat. He takes her to a fucking steakhouse. And I had totally forgotten that Sandoval did this exact thing when they were together, when he was together with Kristen, where he took her to that Korean barbecue place when she was clearly a vegetarian.
Yeah. Like,
this is where I was like, Kristen, I feel bad for you at this point. Like, you know,
I would have texted him back and said, I'm a vegetarian. Hey, do you want to go to this roadhouse? I'm a vegetarian.
But yeah, she gets like a salad and that's like, come on. I don't like, typically I'm like, oh, vegetarians, but it's like, this is almost antagonistic.
Yeah. It's honestly not that difficult it's LA.
Yeah, exactly.
If you are going to find a fucking frou-frou vegetarian, vegan friendly option restaurant, you're going to find it in LA.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you put zero effort into this to someone you say you consider to be your sister, fuck you.
Right. Jax is like, did you have a good time at Janet's the other day? I mean, I didn't mean to get you in a corner like that with like a firing squad. Yes, you absolutely
did.
And Kristen goes, I guess I was just trying to figure out like, why are my guy friends saying that I don't trust your own decision for your own life, Kristen?
Yeah.
Because, well, again, I can tell you that it's called misogyny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kristen details in her confessional more about like sort of the situation with Alex, about like she said about selling the house and all that stuff. Also, she says he sold all of their furniture that he wrote off on his taxes. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And she's like, but with Luke, we don't yell. We don't scream. Our communication is like stupid impeccable.
What do you want to bet he billed all of that furniture as a business expense because he was the realtor on record, so he used it as staging furniture?
Bro, yeah, that's a good trick.
That's called tax evasion.
Well, yeah. Ignore me saying that was a good trick.
That's fraud.
Sorry about it.
It is.
Jax says in his confessional, look, I'm pretty good at spotting a Kristen Doty disaster. And then this is just like the crossfades of like Jax questioning her, going like, look, Luke said like, absolutely not. I would never raise a child here. And Kristen goes, he's absolutely moving here. Crossfade. Kristen goes, I'm moving into a new apartment. Jax is like, he's not on the lease. And Kristen goes, no, like, whatever.
Why would he be on the lease? He's only here for the summer.
But Kristen does say he's going to be moving at some point. So it's like,
sure, but why would they get an apartment now that would be big enough for both of them and all of their stuff?
Yeah.
When he's not moving here.
I do agree, but you can't, but that's the one thing I will give Jax. You can't raise a child long distance.
That's not the plan. I guarantee you that they're just doing this part-time thing until she actually gets pregnant.
But didn't she say she's moving in? She's just now moving into a new apartment. You have to have a lease for like a year at the very least.
Theoretically.
Kristen tells him, Luke is my forever. I see it. I feel it. I think your question is if I think that he's any different than any of my other exes. And Jax goes, or, you know, a sperm donor. And Kristen pulls a face like, are you fucking serious? Kristen goes, I want you guys to start treating him like he's mine forever, that he's, you know, my forever person and not some other dude. Like, does anyone even know his last name or like where he's from? And Jax goes, you know what? I'm going to have a guy's night and I'm going to get to know his last name.
Well, it was,
keep in mind at the guy's night, he doesn't ask about his last name once
at all. But I thought it was very funny because it was similar energy to Kiki going, you don't know my kids' names.
Sure.
Like, why do you not over on Miami?
Everyone this, well, and also Gina doing it with Shannon. Everyone is doing a name them. Everyone's naming them. Or not naming them. Jax goes, look.
What'd they name them?
Jax goes, I don't bring people into this group easily. I'm friends with your ex. I'm between a rock and a hard place. And Kristen goes, no, you're not. I'm more important than he is. Like, literally. Kristen's like, I have seniority over fucking Alex, dude. What the fuck?
But also, you know how that ended. You know it was abusive.
Yeah.
Why are you still friends with him?
But it's not that, I don't think it's that Jackson's been friends with him for like, as long as Kristen, right? Like, that's not what, like, so what is he talking about? Like,
because men,
basically, it all just comes down to men.
Because a man gets loyalty from other men simply by being a man.
Yeah.
A woman has to earn that loyalty. And even then it is questioned.
1,000%.
Even then it is up for question every time something happens.
We're seeing that on Vanderpump
all
the time.
It's exhausting.
Yeah. Kristen calls it out in her confessional. She goes, Jax being judgmental is Jax's weird, shady way of bragging about his own life. He has a house, a wife, and a son. He has it all. The truth is, Jax stumbled into a saint who puts up with his bullshit.
Honestly.
God bless Brittany. Kristen's many times more than not is the voice of reason, in my view.
Yeah.
She does kind of like nail people in a way.
And honestly, Kristen is probably of the original group from Vanderpump is the one who has grown up the most. Who is still on television.
Yeah, in certain ways.
I would say that Stassi probably has grown up quite a bit. I would say that Katie has grown up quite a bit. Neither of the Toms have. Jax has slightly.
I don't even know if Jax has.
I think he's moved past hooking up with random girls in Vegas.
Maybe.
And also shoplifting sunglasses from a store in Hawaii.
I just think a lot of it he's been able to hide better.
Maybe, but I think that he also has more to lose now.
Well, that's the thing. That's kind of what Kristen's talking about in a way. Like, not exactly, but it's like once he got like status and success, then he's now on this like sort of like I'm the top dog again. He wanted to be the number one guy in the group again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. That's kind of what it is.
And he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's the person this show is anchored on.
Kristen then tells Jax about Jesse grabbing her nipple when they were waiting for the tattoos. And Jax is like, what? And Kristen kind of is, like, laughing about it. She's not, like, as... I agree that Kristen isn't as offended, right? Or for whether that's, like, cope or whatever. But Jax is like, yeah, that's like you going and like grabbing his dick. Like, what the fuck?
I'm glad that he at least recognizes that is a serious violation.
Sure. We then go to Jesse and Michelle taking their daughter Isabella to the park to help her learn how to ride a bike. Oh my God. It starts and Michelle goes, did you watch that video I sent you? And Jesse's like, on how to teach someone to ride a bike. I did not watch that video. It can't be that hard. Like, you just put your feet on the pedals. And Michelle goes, it actually says don't start that way.
Yeet him into the ocean. I am so fucking sick. This has literally been an episode and 5 minutes of this man. And I'm already done.
Yeah.
I hate him. Good job picking a television villain. Bravo. Good job.
And I know it's more innocuous. You're also the person that hates that I don't always watch your videos that you sent me, but you send them to me at 4 o'clock at night and it's like,
but also those are funny meme videos.
Yeah.
Like, this is literally an instructional video to make sure that we are on the same page on how we are going to instruct our child in this pivotal moment. Something that a child remembers for their entire fucking life is learning how to ride a goddamn bike.
And that can be very traumatizing. I have an experience.
It can be very traumatizing.
And clearly Isabella is, because Isabella wants nothing to fucking do with this bike, by the way.
Or this husband, but you know.
But to talk about like your like the disconnect in the parenting and not being on the same page. Michelle's like, I didn't realize that, you know, when we had a kid that like Jesse had like no patience. And Jesse describes how like if Isabella's like doing something like that she shouldn't be, Michelle will be like, oh, Isabella, no, etc. And I'm like, Isabella, and she stops. And you were like,
yeah, because she's afraid of you. That's called trauma.
Just tell on yourself more, dude. Like, just keep telling on yourself, Jesse. Come on. Jesse says in his confessional, we've talked about the relationships evolving. I don't know if she's changed what she wants from me or I've changed into something she doesn't want. Wow. He's also, I mean, like, he's kind of like, he's weird, not introspective, but like, he'll say things where it's just like, yeah, that's a good point, Jesse. Like,
yeah, why do you fucking suck so much? Like, have you thought about that?
Oh my God. Kristen and Luke then go on for a run up like a mountain or whatever.
Running up that hill.
And Kristen, they talk about like who wears the pants in the relationship. And Kristen says it's Luke, which like,
relationships work better if nobody's wearing pants.
Sure, but I almost guarantee you Kristen's going to be wearing those pants soon enough. Kristen has to be in control. It's to a certain extent.
In a lot of ways, but I think that once she actually feels safe and secure in something, she would be happy to give up control.
Yeah.
But she has to be able to trust someone.
Yeah.
And she's been shown time and time again that she can't trust these fucking men.
Sure. Rightfully so. Kristen is talking about like the baby process, and she's just worried about her body being able to do it because, like you mentioned, she'll be a geriatric pregnancy, and so like the world.
I hate that we call it that.
I know it's so stupid.
She's 40. Like, she's not even at midlife yet.
There has to be another name for it. But then she tells Luke about like Jesse twisting her nipple, and she's like, I was like joking with him and be like, oh yeah, you know, whatever, and twist his nipple, and he like twisted mine back, like laughing about it, and Luke's face is just like stone
the appropriate
face.
Response.
Yeah, he goes, there is so much wrong with that, and Krista goes, yeah, but like now, like I feel like the dick, like I did that to him, and Luke goes, so what? That's not the same. He said, he lays it out in his confessional. He goes, when a person is willing to do that and cross that line, you don't know where that line exists. If she had slapped him when he did that, would he slap her back?
Literally.
Which I'm like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But of course, Kristen goes, you're so hot when you stick up for me. Of course, she's loving it. Like,
well, but the thing is she's never had someone who's done that.
Sure.
Of course she finds it sexy. Because it's new for her.
Right. I like their relationship as we're seeing it so far, to me. Like, I think I actually kind of like it.
Yeah, I really do too, honestly.
We then go to Nia, Michelle, and Kristen doing like a Taekwondo workout. And we hear more about Nia having like a Taekwondo background. She's like a black belt growing up, like started at age of 8. And then she tells this fucking story about how she was doing Miss Universe, right? And because it's the Miss USA, Miss Universe thing, that Donald Trump came in at one point with his like sleazy fucking like millionaire like friends or whatever. And we all know, like, there's documented stories of like Donald Trump at these pageants and the fucking gross shit he would do,
especially in the locker room.
But Nia claims that one of Trump's friends came up to her and put his hand around her waist, and she apparently took his hand, bent it backwards, and said, get your hands off of me.
She literally told him, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo.
Good, like, cool. I like her.
I like her a lot.
Yeah. She's a badass. I really appreciate it. And so they're talking after like the Taekwondo session, and Michelle tells them about like wanting to do therapy with Jesse, because they're talking, you know, obviously they're discussing their issues. And Kristen talks about how like Michelle is like, she's been like an ear for Michelle a lot in terms of like the issues with Jesse. And so they've formed somewhat of a bond. They then transition over to Jax, Jesse, and Jason playing rollerblade hockey, which I guess is a thing that like Jax was like loving. Oh, I forgot. Didn't he want to get like a job as like a hockey like commentator or something?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he wanted to like move. Like, I don't know.
I forgot about that. It was Florida. He was going to move back to Florida, right?
Yeah. And like, it's so like he has made this like a character trait of him, and he's so fucking worn out. They show the total play time is 4 minutes, 27 seconds, and they're all just exhausted.
His cardio is shot.
It's a mess. Jax is like, it's when you have kids. I'm like, I don't know about that. I think
it's you don't keep up with your cardio.
Because he's not, like, Brittany's putting in the work with the kids.
Honestly.
People were really annoyed. There's a scene later where, like, Cruz is, like, stuck under the couch or something, like, screaming. And, like, Brittany and Brittany's mom, who's there, like, go to check on him. Jax doesn't even get up. Like, get the fuck up, you fucking asshole. Anyways, Jax is telling Jesse about what Kristen said about the nipple thing that that she brought up. And Jesse goes, I don't remember that at all. Again, this is the week of amnesia, apparently. On these
apparently.
Shows. She goes, the nipple twister doesn't seem like my kind of style. Yeah, I don't believe him. I think, here's the thing, when he gets to the thing with Luke Lear, I just don't believe him that he doesn't remember, and that's part why I'm like kind of frustrated with Jesse.
Yeah.
Like, that's something you would remember to me.
Well, it depends on how drunk he was, but he didn't seem that drunk.
No.
Also, any tattoo artist worth their salt will not tattoo you when you're that intoxicated.
Exactly.
Because it thins your blood.
Right.
And it makes it to where you're bleeding all over the place. It's really hard. Like, it's not going to heal right. Like, they're just, they're not going to, and not to mention there's like legal liability issues and like consent things. So like, yeah, no tattoo artist worth their salt is going to tattoo you when you're that inebriated.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jason in his confessional is totally being a lawyer about this. He goes, you know, it feels like a woman's nipple is of like an elevated status to a man's nipple. But I also have very sensitive nipples, so I wouldn't want that for myself.
Yeah.
It's like, I can see both sides, I guess. Yeah. Jack says that he has to apologize to Danny for the pantsing at the guy's night.
Didn't he already apologize to Danny?
I guess he has to do it again. I don't know.
I guess.
Danny, the problem is Danny doesn't care.
Danny doesn't give a shit.
And then Jack goes, you know, would it be weird if I invited Alex to guy's night to have like a little powwow with Luke? And Jesse goes, I think you're a child for even thinking about that.
This is introduction of shitty idea.
Yeah. It's like, but the way to bring it is like, are you a fucking child for doing that? It's like, what if they have a powwow and Luke says like, I don't want to be with you anymore. that's such a good point though by Jesse, which is just like, okay, Jax, what is, when we get to what happens later, because it's clear that Jax doesn't buy anything Kristen is saying and it's team Alex.
Right.
So what's the point of the conversation with Luke?
Right.
To break them up.
Has to be.
It's like, come on, Jax.
Like, actually, yeah. Like, I hadn't thought about why he would bother to do that.
Yeah, it's so odd. Like, it's, it, yeah, it's,
this, fuck you, Jax.
Fuck you.
Jesus Christ.
And Jesse's, they're go. She, Jax is like, okay, it'll be you two. It'll be Danny. It'll be, you know, Luke. And Jesse goes, Alex, is Tom Sandoval free? He dated Kristen, right? You know, get a shooting gallery together.
Like, honestly.
Honestly, I would not be surprised at this point. We see a quick scene. It's a light little scene of Janet, Jasmine, and Brittany going baby furniture shopping for Janet to, like, stock the nursery and all that stuff. And Janet talks about how overwhelmed she is, like, seeing all the different things, thinking she would just need, like, a crib or whatever. She tells herself in the confessional, what I have to keep reminding myself is people did this in caves.
Honestly. Because, like, I'm of two minds about it. If I had the money, I would want every gizmo and gadget. I'd want it in triplicate, you know, in case one broke, in case I lost one, whatever.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, people did this in caves.
You know, it's not, take the stress off of it and, like, you know.
Like, if you need something down the line that you don't have right now, then get it then. You don't have to pre-plan for everything.
Right.
You don't have, like, whether you buy the baby bouncer, you know, X9000 or not, is not going to make or break whether you are a good parent.
That's the problem. We put such pressure on parents to be like, if you do one thing wrong, it's going to damage your child forever. And it's like, they're meant to be, not that they're meant to be damaged, don't get me wrong, but it's like, you're inevitably going to have something.
You're
going to
fuck up.
Yeah.
No one is a perfect parent.
Right.
What makes a difference between whether it is a momentary fuck up or traumatizing is how you handle it as a parent.
Yeah.
When you can admit to your children that they, you were wrong, and you can foster a relationship built on trust, they will be fine.
Yeah.
They need to know that they can, number one, that they love you and that you love them unconditionally.
And that they have,
and that they can trust you.
Yeah.
Period. End of story.
Yeah. They talk about how Michelle is doing a girls' night at the house, and Brittany's like, you know, I know Nia, you know, is probably overwhelmed with like three kids, so she'll, you know, it'll be a nice reprieve or whatever. And then we go to Nia and Danny at their house with the kids. She's talking about how she's, you know, into pageant coaching now, like that's her transition from like Miss USA, and that she's traveling a lot because of it. So like Danny's with the kids.
And apparently she coached Raquel or Rachel.
She was a judge.
Or she was pageants. A judge. Okay.
Yeah. Which,
awkward.
Can I say also, Nia, like, it, Rachel never, not to say that there's a type or there's like a stereotype, but like Rachel never came off as a pageant girl to me.
No, I was very surprised.
Nia is very clearly a pageant girl.
Oh, clearly. She has like this poise, this elegance, like she glides.
Yeah, there's no like faltering.
Like she's just everything.
Yeah.
In a way that Raquel never was. Raquel's like awkward duckling.
Yes, 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 yes. Very that.
And I never understood how she was in pageants.
Well, she didn't win, so.
Well.
Guess anyone can do it. So they talk a little bit about like the Jack's pantsing thing or whatever. And Nia's still upset by it. She's like, he doesn't need to be like adding to what I'm dealing with. And so this is where I was saying before, where I think she details in her confessional sort of just like feeling. To me, she's describing postpartum depression. Like when she details it. Like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Like I can't feel like I can get over it. It's not like that. It's not going to end. It's just like never ending. And it's like, I think you're describing postpartum.
Yeah.
Like, and so that I think probably played into why she was so upset and like.
Well, and it's probably very difficult when you are dealing with that to be surrounded by such easy jovialness, right?
Yeah.
Like where people can just do something silly and laugh and have fun. That's got to be fucking frustrating. I can't imagine how difficult that is.
Yeah.
So, but, like, I can understand kind of. But, like, she also, like, from a logical standpoint, needs to understand that was ridiculous.
Sure.
Like, but that was an illogical response.
She definitely is still holding on to it even at the party. She says that, she says, like, you know, and I love Brittany, but, like, she's always making all the excuses or whatever, which she does.
Brittany, she does.
Brittany does make excuses for Jackson.
Does make excuses.
A lot. Okay, so they go to the guys' night. At this like bar and like, you know, gaming place. Luke and Jax are the first to arrive and it's just complete awkward silence between the two of them. They're like, Jax wants no small talk, basically. It's just like, again, Kristen said, ask his name, ask his last name, like something. He just doesn't care. Jax does not fuck with Luke for whatever fucking reason.
No, because I think it's because if Kristen depends on another man, then she won't depend on him and he's no longer needed.
That's probably exactly it. Yeah, I would totally agree. Danny arrives and Jax hugs it out with him and apologizes again. Like I said, Danny does not really care. Luke's like, so I do have a conversation I have to have with someone, you know, talking about Jesse. He's like, it's disrespectful to her. It's disrespectful to me. Luke, like, just kind of like, they say it later where it's like, is Luke, like, Luke was trying to, like, like, the producer asked Jesse, like, was he trying to, like, are you, like, intimidated by him? I don't think it's about intimidation. I just think it's a natural thing of, like, I need to have a conversation with this person and I need to, like, put up a boundary and say, like, you know, that's not okay.
It's not about intimidation. Like, why is it, why do men have to assume that people are going to go to this toxic place?
Yeah.
Like, that's not what this is about. He wasn't threatening him into behaving properly.
No.
He was pointing out, this is an issue. I need you to apologize to Kristen.
Yeah. So, Jesse arrives, says hi or whatever. He's at the bar then, and then Luke approaches him at the bar. He's like, so, like, I found something out on Saturday with you and Kristen that was pretty upsetting. Like, you grabbed her boob? And Jesse goes, so I'll be completely honest with you. I don't remember her touching me, and I don't remember doing it to her. And I'm not saying it's a lie. And Luke goes, well, there's no question if it did or didn't happen. And Jesse goes, well, there's a question for me. And Luke goes, there's no question for Kristen because she got grabbed. There's no question for me because I 100% trust my girlfriend.
Well, and there's no question for us because we literally saw it happen.
There's that.
Like, there's video evidence.
Sure. I just, like, I think you were, like, you were saying something about, like, okay, let Jesse kind of hang himself first before.
Right. I feel like Luke, this is the problem with reality television. Mm-hmm. Luke was handling this like a person should handle this, but Luke was not handling this like you handle it on reality television.
Yeah.
Luke needed to step back a second and let Jesse say there is a question of whether it happened or not. Not that, because Jesse was even conceding the point of, I don't remember it happening. I'm not saying she's lying because that's fucked up. He was conceding that.
Sure.
But he was still holding his ground of, I don't remember this. That is a very similar reaction to one that I would have. If I was being accused of something that I did not remember doing, I would say, I do not remember doing this. And I would be very adamant about that point.
If I, but the thing is that if I was apologetic about it, because Jesse, it has already been brought to Jesse, right? I would lead with the apology first and then say, by the way, like, I also don't even remember doing it. Like, I don't know if I was drunk or whatever.
Like that's possible. I wish that Luke had given him another 3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because it makes Luke appear aggressive.
Yeah.
On screen. In real life, of course, this is exactly how you would react.
Yeah.
Luke's just not seasoned in reality television world yet. And that's kind of charming. And I kind of love that. But also, like, learn what show you're on.
Sure.
Like, you need to know how to move in this space, because how you move in this space is different than you move out in the real world.
Yeah.
It's a different beast.
So, he's like, you need to apologize to Kristen. And Jesse agrees to it, and they all shake and make up. And it's
cool.
Jax tells Danny alone that he invited Alex. And Jax is like, and Danny's like, are you fucking serious? Jax is like, look, we're guys. Like, I'm friends with all my exes. And Danny says his confessional, I am friends with none of Nia's exes, and vice versa.
And it's weird for me because I am friends with a lot of my exes.
But like,
but I also feel that it's different in the queer community because it's so small that if you start exing out your exes, you run out of queer people to hang out with.
Sure.
So it's,
I just think this is a shining example, and Luke confronts Jax on it later, where it's just like, that's like, you, Jax, your life is not normal. The way you and your friends have, like, operated, it's not really normal.
Well, and this same, like, parallel to this, the guys' night is the girls hanging out at
Michelle's.
At Michelle's house. And
plus Zach.
Yeah, the girls and Zach. The girls and gays. No Tom.
Thank God.
So Brittany says the same thing,
right?
In this setting, she's like, well, I don't think it's that weird, but it's like, you realize that all of the exes were in on this show together.
Yeah.
You didn't have an option but to get along.
Yeah. There's no reason for Alex to like be in it necessarily, because he wasn't on, we never saw him on Vanderpump.
I didn't need to see him on this. He's quite ugly. I didn't.
We'll get to this Action, like, Bronson looking motherfucker. Like,
why did he come in looking like a fucking mole rat?
Yeah, it was so.
Like, what is this?
Even for Kristen, I was like, you chose this?
I don't.
Girl, you were down bad.
It was apparently a rough 7 months.
Yeah. So everyone starts arriving for the girls' night. Kristen gets locked out. and they're like, Michelle. And like, no one's paying attention. They're all in the kitchen. So immediately Brittany checks on Nia. And Brittany's like, I love when Brittany just like stream of consciousness. And she, you know, the last thing that Jax would ever want you to do is make you sad. You know, it was stupid. Like, I apologize. He apologized. Even though I didn't do anything. But, you know, I'm apologizing. It's like, okay, Brittany. It's like, Jesus Christ.
This is where we were talking about it being very egregious with like the plastic surgery and the way that her mouth is like turned down.
Yeah.
It, her lowered lip and her chin does not move. In the middle.
Right.
But on the sides, it's like, it's exactly what you were saying earlier. It's a fucking Snapchat filter.
Yeah.
It's like that one where you try not to smile and then it turns into the devil. That's what it looks like.
Brittany says her confessional, you know, Jax is, you know, grown up in so many ways, but obviously not in all the ways. You know, he's still pantsing boys at parties. It's like, what way? I want you to describe the way he has grown up. He has had a child. That doesn't necessarily mean he's grown up.
Right.
That, like, that's the only thing I can think of as like a citing evidence of like him growing up. Whatever. So back at the guys' night, they're taking shots, and Jax is like, okay, so like, kumbaya, everybody be friends. On that note, Luke, I'm going to have a chat with you over here. And he pulls Luke to the side. This was so like Jax, I get every point from this moment on, Jax knows what he's doing. I'm sorry.
Well, like, he had so many opportunities to literally text Alex and say, you know, hey, what? This is a bad idea. Stay home.
Well, the weird thing is, so he starts to try to justify it, right? And he goes, look, I had great motivation on this. And Luke's like, what? He goes, I want you part of this group more than anybody. You're a reasonable guy and a nice guy. And so is Alex. You two would get along. And Luke is just like, what? Luke's like, I'm not okay with a guy like that. Like, why would I give this guy a chance? Why would I want to be friends with my ex, the ex of my girlfriend? I got her back 100%, which it was a moment of just like, the emperor has no clothes. Why is this normal to you guys?
Yeah.
Why do you think this is a thing? Jax goes, I just want to make sure you're getting all the right stories. So you're saying Kristen's lying about Alex.
Right.
Is what you're saying. That's right. What you're saying. And so then Alex walks in and like apparently he's behind him and Luke's like, is he here? Jackson goes, man, I fucked up, didn't I? Did I fuck up? There's no way he just figured that out. You had multiple people telling you it was a bad idea. Multiple people.
I just, but how you would ever think this was a good idea to begin with.
Yeah.
You are 44 years old. Like, grow the fuck up.
Yeah. Back at the girls' night. So they're all sitting outside and Brittany goes, Kristen, I have something to tell you because I don't want you freaking out whenever you hear this. I think Alex might be going to be there tonight. And Kristen goes, are you fucking kidding me? Brittany goes, it's going to be fine. And she goes, come the fuck on, Brittany. I don't want my ex-boyfriends around me or my fucking family. What's so difficult for exactly to understand about that? It's like, Kristen, like, we finally get to see, like, combustible Kristen, and I like I said, I have missed it. Brittany goes, Jax actually had good intentions. He wants everybody to be okay to hang out. I'm sorry, okay. I have to do the accent. It's so good.
Why is it almost Cartman?
It's but isn't, am I wrong?
No.
But it's like, okay, no, Brittany, Jax did not have good intentions. Kristen details their confessional. Alex and I were dating while I was still on Vanderpump. Months later, when things crashed and burned, he belittled me. He made me feel really small. He thought I was kind of a loser, has-been reality star. It was like, oh, okay. So it was like, so he wanted on the show.
Yeah.
If that is true, you know, which fine, like maybe Kristen is lying. I don't know. But like,
why would she?
Yeah. Brittany goes, Jax has been friends with Alex for a long time. And like, but again, not as long as Kristen. Like, come on, Brittany. And then Brittany says her confessional, we would never have Alex at a place where Kristen is. I don't know if I believe you.
I don't believe you either.
I don't think you. Jax has a line.
No.
Yeah.
Because as was stated earlier in this episode, once you cross that line, you then question, well, where is the line? Is there a line?
Right. Zach has Kristen's back on this. He goes, he should not be there. Like, that is fucked up. And Brittany goes, or maybe Luke shouldn't be there because, you know, they're actually all friends. It's like, okay, Brittany, now you fucking are. Once it didn't go Brittany's way, it's like, I am with my husband. I stand by my man. Luke fucking sucks.
But also, like, this is why I would be bad for reality television, because not only would I get into this fight and be petty, but then I would also, like, tear down the fourth wall.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, because Luke is on this show, that Alex motherfucker did not sign a contract. Why is he getting a mic?
Exactly.
Why is he getting pulled onto this goddamn show? I'm done with him.
Yeah. Jax and Alex and go to the side to play basketball. This is the most classic Jax confessional moment. Again, these moments like just like give me nostalgia. Jax goes, look, with Luke, I don't think I blindsided him. Okay, yes, like the definition of blindside. Okay, fine, I blindsided him. It's like, yes, Jax, words have meaning.
Oh, jeez.
Jax then tells Alex, so weren't you still paying her mortgage for a while? Immediately on camera doing, like, just wants to get, like, the, and he knows all of this stuff that Alex is claiming, right? Like, clearly. Alex goes, well, I mean, I lent her a lot of money and I sold her the house for free. And Jax goes, oh, for free. So she forgets to tell people things like this.
For free. So you're not including the write-off for the furniture.
Okay.
Cool.
And Alex goes, and she did live in my house for like 6 months for $0.
Well, that's because you were in a relationship.
Like, that's the like, if
you you're don't in, charge your partner rent.
Right. It's like,
that's
come
not
on.
How that works.
Any court would say that. Like, come on.
Judge Judy would slap the fuck out of this man. I just, I, I, I'm just saying.
You noted this slip that Jax does because Jax is talking about Luke and goes like, look, right now he's like in the, oh my God, the sex is great. And Alex goes, I was there. And Jax goes, you were there. So was... I know. It's just a matter of time. He was about to say,
he
I was
almost
there too.
Said, I've been there too, because he did. He fucked crazy Kristen. Yeah. Like,
Jax is like, it's just a matter of time before he becomes another casualty. Jesus Christ. Like, Jax is so malicious with it. Kristen says it. Because back at the girls, like, Brittany goes, you should know Jax so well that you should know that him wanting to be there is a big deal. Like, it's so kind that you invited Luke. And Kristen goes, I don't give a shit, Brittany. And goes, Jax is trying to be malicious. Brittany then goes, and are you not? Are you not stirring up shit? And Kristen goes, what am I stirring up? And then it's like a dramatic cliffhanger. And it just says 5 minutes later. And it's fucking Zach yelling, I did not say it. And they're all, Jasmine's yelling. But it was like, oh, now we're going to fucking turn up the gas on this show.
Oh, this is good.
I don't know what it all means, but I'm excited for it.
I am excited.
Yeah, that was episode 2 of The Valley. Like we said, loving what we're seeing so far. It's a great first start.
All right, let's get into these tops and bottoms. We've got The Valley and Vanderpump and also The Valley.
A little Valley sandwich, or a Vanderpump sandwich.
Yeah, a Vanderpump sandwich with Valley bread. What you thinking, babe?
I'm going to keep it to, well, no, it's kind of across both shows. My top, I'm going to give to Kristen Doty because I miss Kristen. And I think she really is, she is made for reality television in a way that is like just so perfect. I root for her a lot, and I also think that, again, I think that she's like an underrated voice of reason in many ways. Maybe not voice of reason. I think she's a voice of truth. Let's say that. She calls shit pretty properly, and I've missed her just chaotic energy and her boyfriend drama, and it's just like, it's been heavily missed for a while. My bottom is going to give to a person who is absolutely not the voice of reason, and that is Lala. I've been really upset with Lala this week in a way that, like, I'm just like, ugh, it's so frustrating because I loved her so much last season, especially, and, like, again, work on yourself first, and then you can start judging other people if that's a genuine thing of where you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's either... And here's the thing. At the best part, it's that. In the worst part, you're doing it for, you know, television moving reasons, right? And thinking that this is where the audience is going to be, and this is where, you know, you want to be placed. And it's like, one, you misjudged completely. And two, it's just making you look like more of a flip-flopper. It's honestly just giving fuel to Sandoval's view of you, which I don't think you want at the end of the day. And I'm just Team Ariana on this. And I don't think it's blindly. I actually think, like, from what I am seeing, I feel terrible that Ariana is not getting any ability to be respected or just listened to or believed. Like, it's just wild to me. Absolutely wild. What about you, babe? What are your tops and bottoms?
Before I get into my tops and bottoms, you know, Vanderpump is not the place for Stassi.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see her and Beau on The Valley. I'm just saying, if she ever got the itch to come back to reality television, I think The Valley would be a good fit for her.
She has claimed that she was offered it and did not take it.
I'm not surprised. I would, if for some reason there are couple vacancies...
Yeah, it could be an option.
I would be happy to have her
on
this show. Because number one, if she is willing, television needs Stassi Schroeder.
Yeah.
Like, that woman is phenomenal for television. Just like you were saying that Kristen is made for reality television, Stassi is made for reality television.
For sure.
And I miss her. I miss her so much, and I wish her the best. I hope that she's happy off of TV if she could ever find herself being happy on television again. Find your way to my television.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way. Anyway, my bottom for the week is Jesse.
Yeah, yeah.
Because fuck that guy.
Yeah, Jesse's like, fucking
go
sucks.
Read a book at the bottom of a swimming pool. I'm done. Like, I'm sick of it. I don't like you. Go away. You're awful to your wife. You ignore the existence of your children.
Really?
Like,
it's a bare minimum.
You have like, no respect for any fucking woman in your vicinity. I'm done.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've gotten this level of vitriol from me out of 2 episodes... Girl, you're working overtime.
Yeah, I expected them to all be like boring as fuck pretty much. And he's not that, I will say that. But
put him in a catapult and yeet him into the ocean.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm already done. Anyway, men that I'm not done with is Luke.
Yeah.
I fucking love him.
I actually like him a lot.
He's such a genuine person. And he's... he's the kind of person I wish I would hope that I could be on reality television. Just in that it's number one, genuine, and number two, standing on business. Mm. He's not an asshole about it, but he does not back down.
Yeah.
And he protects Kristen in a way that she has never been protected before. Honestly, marry him. I'm here for it. Have his children. Have his pretty little children and put a ring on the finger and be done. This man is a good man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So far as we can tell, is a good man.
We'll find out by the end of the season.
Because it's reality television. Turns out he's a serial killer. Who knew?
Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean.
Right.
Like, honestly... if you're going to settle down with someone, not mad that it's Luke. Hey, thanks for tuning into this episode of A Gay and His Envy.
Join us next time for more of our recaps and hot takes. And be sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you are listening. And check us out on our social media at A Gay and His Envy on all the platforms.
A special shout out to Shane Ivers, who wrote Pulsar, the song we use for our theme.
I'm Eamon.
I'm Merlin. And we're out.
This show is a member of the Sorgatron Media Podcast Network. Find out more at SorgatronMedia.com.